All right, good evening, everybody. We're going to get started with tonight's conference call. We got quite a few things to share before we open up for a conversation or questions and answers. One of the first things I guess we should talk about is the fact that we've been having some problems with posting. We had a couple of problems in New York. We had another problem, I believe it was in Pennsylvania or some other site. I don't remember in particular, but I think it was Pennsylvania. And where they actually, all three of them, they kicked us out of the rooms. We were kicked out in Rockland County. We spoke about this, I believe, last week. Right in the middle of our programming, they pulled the plug on us. A couple others were kicked out the day before, and they were kind of cast back out into the doghouse. But nevertheless, we all got our elections done in those counties. And moving forward, we have had some calls and some problems with people. One of the big things is that, and by the way, am I coming through clearly, Gerard? Am I okay? One of the problems, I presume I'm coming through. Okay, I'm coming through. Okay, good. One of the problems is, I guess, we're sticking a stick into the hornet's nest, or into their eye there or something. They just can't handle this, what we've been posting. Someone in the town sees it, and they bring it over to the clerk, and the clerk feels, oh, we got to go call the county attorney. And then the county attorney gets involved. Oh, common law, they can't have that. And whatever exercise of insanity they go through, and then they try to give us a problem and spoil what we're doing. So, you know what? We're going to skip that part. We don't need those problems right now. We're going to be dealing with some problems when we start filing. So we'll put that off. So this makes it a lot easier. We're still going to do the honorable thing. We're going to hit the newspapers. Again, if there's two newspapers that cover your county, get them both. If there's three, get three. Four, get four. If there's just one, get one, whatever it is. Now, this makes it a lot easier because now one person can do the election. And all they need is two witnesses. So just go forward in faith that you're going to get two people. Get two friends if you have. Even if you get two people who don't want to be the jurist, but they're willing to come and sign the witness thing and just do it. And by the way, this is not going to succeed unless you partnership with your other counties throughout your state. And not just the counties next door to you, every county in your state. We are looking for someone to step up in every state to take the organization, to organize the state, to make sure that we find an individual in every county that gets this and is willing to go forward to set the election. So in theory, you know, if you get someone tonight or tomorrow morning that agrees to that, that person before the day is out can call up the library. That's the other thing. We strongly suggest just go to the libraries. That's a public building. We haven't really had problems with libraries, so just go there. And go to the libraries, get a date as soon as possible. If it's too far out, if it's 2 or 3 weeks away, go to the library in the next town. Try starting off with the town seat, whatever town that is. I mean, the county seat, whatever town that is. And again, if that's booked, then you can go to the next town. But just find a library that'll book you in the next 5 to 7 days. As soon as you can get the booking and confirm the booking, usually done in 24 to 48 hours, then you just call the newspapers and you get the numbers of the local newspapers. It's a very easy process. You find out, you just get the, when you call up the newspaper, ask them for the email or to connect you with or give you the email and the fax number to whoever handles the press release. Usually they'll just give you the fax and the email of that person. And then you just email it out or fax it out, whichever you choose. Make sure you get a receipt because you're going to put that into your package for the declaration to prove that you went someplace and did these things. And make sure you also save the application that you fill out for that library. And by the way, you could do everything over the phone and on the Internet. You could fax the application in. You can get the response. But everything's done on the phone. So you're looking at, you know, you could get it done in 15, 20 minutes. You get it done in 20 minutes or a half hour, even if it takes an hour, but that's nothing. Okay? So once it's set and you got the date, then just make phone calls. Call everyone you know. Have them call people. Call other, go get involved with your Liberty group. Call other Liberty groups. We don't need a meeting to meet to decide what we're going to do. Just someone take the bull by the horn and do it. And if you feel once you get the election done, you can hold off on filing if you're uncomfortable with that yet. If you're all alone still in the county, wait till you get two or three or four people and file. Talk to the counties next door. They'll help you. Maybe they'll say, hey, look, just file it. We're right here. If you need us, three or four of us will come sit on that board when you go as the jury when you want to talk with your judge. So we're going to partnership. Remember, it's 25 people per state, not per county. So if you're one person and you can connect with the other people, and we're all the same. So we're all just one grand jury. So anyway, what we did do, if you go out to jurist orientation now, and anybody who's gone through this, you might want to just go back through it again anyway and see, if you haven't done the election yet, you definitely want to go back. But what you're going to want to do is see how we reset the process of electing the grand jury. And so this page now, the jury jurist orientation is actually only 3.5 hours now, okay, right down here to 0601, the handbook, okay? So you then come for the details to start a grand jury. You click on that on the bottom. It's the only way to get to this page, okay? And here's the new election process. So we have all new downloaded zip files. And by the way, anybody working off the old paperwork, you should change your front page because we did find some contradictions in it, so we rewrote it. And so you only have to change that front page. You will have to chase down a couple of people, to get the signatures because you need three witnesses. But they don't necessarily have to be the same three people anyway. So you can get any three people, any two other people plus yourself that was at that election if it's already done. But anyway, here it is, the election process. This is only a 35-minute tape now, video, and you can download the zip files right here. And down here, here's the investment in time. One person, 3 hours in 1 week, and you're done. And that I doubt you're going to spend 3 hours. I think you're going to spend 2 hours or an hour, and you're done. So this is not a big burden on anyone to do. It's not going to take a lot of time. There is absolutely no excuse for anybody who's in a county that's attached to us that can't go out tomorrow morning, get on the phones tomorrow morning. If you're working during your lunchtime or your break time, make the phone call. Get the room booked. Get the numbers for the email address or the fax number for the newspapers. And then when you get home, then fax it out. And you're done. You're done. And it doesn't matter whether the newspaper is printed or not. You've done due diligence. It's all about doing due diligence, the honorable thing. If they're dishonorable because, we're not going to put that out because they don't like the idea or whatever, it doesn't matter. It's totally irrelevant. And it doesn't matter whether three people or 33 people show up. It's totally irrelevant. You've done your due diligence, and whoever responded, responded. As Jefferson said, we have government not by majority. We have government by majority that participates. So... anyway, that's that. We got to get going. The clock is ticking. There's absolutely no reason why all of the organizers cannot go out and get moving tomorrow. Connect with your other organizers throughout the state. You cannot do this alone. We're in New York here. We're not sure of the number yet. We're going to be posting. It could be as many as 25 or so. It could be as little as maybe 15 or 16, but we're going to see what will happen by the end of this week, and what we'll be posting. But once we post, right after that, we're going to be posting throughout New York for the next couple of weeks until we get all 62 counties. I do perceive that within the next few weeks, 3 to 4 weeks at most, we will have pretty much every county in New York, hopefully every one of them. That could be true in your state, too. So whatever state you're in, let's get it going. And again, you wait for five. I'm suggesting five. People do whatever they feel comfortable with. I suggest five counties. when you have five counties in your state, no matter where they're at, and they're ready to file, then file together, file the same day. And then every county thereafter in your state just files at will. As soon as they get it, they file it. As soon as they do it, they file it. Until you get every county done. And again, we need volunteers. We need somebody in each state to take the bull by the horns, to go out and initiate a methodical program throughout your state, looking for a leader in every single county and getting them on board and getting them involved into the process immediately. Tell them not to wait. Let us do it. We're just about out of time. Okay. Real quick. One of the things we had is we had someone come to one of our elections. This happened to me also in one of our elections, where a person wanted to discuss things before we got the vote. And I allowed it. It went on. And we're an hour, and people started to leave, and someone said, hey, let's get the vote going because we'll lose the people. So we did that, and we got the vote. It was unanimous anyway. Even though the person had a lot of questions, they still voted yay anyway. We had one place that we did where one person had a lot of questions, and they just abstained. So it was unanimous. Well, not really, because one person was there and didn't vote. So I think we did overwhelming majority on that. Now, out in Pennsylvania, we had somebody come by, and they were determined to tell us how wrong we were with things. And after the programming was over and they were getting ready for a show of hands, some guy said, and he may even be here tonight, he said, no, we got to talk about this. There's things we have to talk about. And so that happened, and this person scared quite a few people away. Only a few people ended up voting, and it was a problem. So I was thinking about this. Look, we can't allow this to happen. First of all, we're promising people it's only a 35-minute event, okay? So we need to get it done in 35 minutes. So at the end of the thing, we need to vote. If someone wants to discuss things, ask questions and comment, well, they can ask later. If they say, well, you know, I can't make a vote, well, then fine, then don't make a vote. And that it is what it is. Get the voting done and then talk. You can have the questions and answers. This person had their own agenda, and they had their own thinking that they wanted to impose on other people. I say let people decide for themselves. We had three very good videos that we do. The first video lays it out straight on the problems between fiction and reality in law, okay, and it laid it out very, very clearly. The second one was about rights, and the big thing, you know, that was one of the things this guy had a problem with. But in any event, the second one was about rights. And the third one was the grand jury and what can be done and how it operates and what kind of power. None of that really can be questioned, no matter how you put it. You know, everything we said in this 9 or 10 minute video, which introduces people to the grand jury, came right out of the Scalia case, you know, right out of the Williams, the United States versus Williams case. Word for word, we laid it out point by point by point by point by point. Yeah, now we did add to the fact that what you can do with it, since you can fix any wrongdoing, you can fix any problem in America if enough people get together and take their country back by becoming jurists and grand jurists and taking control. So that's what we need to do. You know, anybody wants to interrupt or have questions or anything after the voting, let's get it done. It's not right to hold people up, nor is it right for other people to come in and spoil a situation trying to get their will across. And all we're doing is showing videos and trying to get people excited about it and making a decision to step up and to take control. And that's what it's all about. This is purely 100% grassroots. Every jury that comes together is all on their own in that room, whether it's a trial jury of 12 or a grand jury of 25. You are the people in that room making the decision for whatever it is that you're discussing and talking about, and you will also be held responsible for that decision. So, you know, again, we have principles, and that's a very important point here. Let me go to that real quick. On our Juris Documents page, for anybody who doesn't know we have this now, here we have a constitution of a common law grand jury, for the common law grand jury. And this is the rules. It's one page, and it's very simple. It gives you three principles that you must rule by. We all agree to this. We have to agree to this. And I don't know anybody who could disagree with this. But point number one and point number two and point number three, we must have a sense of justice, a sense of honor, and a sense of mercy. And that's what we rule by. Every time we make a decision, we have to consider, are we doing the just thing? Are we being honorable by our decisions? Have we considered whatever mercy would be required in this decision? Now, nobody can disagree with that. Anybody who disagrees with that does not belong doing with what we're doing. So that's the state of mind that people need to have. Now, there are two common law principles, and they're the foundation of common law. And again, you cannot walk away from it. You have to accept these two rules. Rule number one, for every injury, there must be a remedy. You cannot walk away from it. If a person's been injured, it is the job, it is the duty of the grand jury or the trial jury to reinstate that person, to find a remedy for that person. That person has to be repaired. And the person that needs to do the repairing is the person that injured them. That is justice. And that's the job what we have to do. Nobody can argue with that. Another thing is, and this is the one that a lot of people have to have a tough time with, and I understand, you know, we're used to mommy and daddy taking care of us. We're used to having someone holding us by the hand, telling us what to do, and taking care of all our business so we don't have to be responsible for our own lives. Well, that's not what our founding fathers created. That's not what they set up for us. It's not what God has given us. God says you're responsible. Mommy and daddy cannot be responsible. You are responsible for your life. You are responsible for the decisions you make. And so the second rule of common law is, in order for there to be a crime, there must be an injured party. If you cannot find an injured party, there is no crime. Now, there are extenuating circumstances that could apply in situations where the public safety is in view. Someone drunk driving, for instance, you know. We talked about that last week. Just to give a quick idea on how we might deal with that, you know, if a police officer sees someone and thinks that they're intoxicated, obviously they have to pull them over. Obviously they have to take away the person's keys. They take away the person's keys and have the person's car towed, and they take the person home. That's what they have to do, okay? If they're traveling, well, maybe then maybe they can sit in the county jail till the morning and they'll let go, you know, when they're sober, okay? But whatever. You got to get them off the road. You can't allow that's public safety. Now, a report should be made. And if it happens a second time, then obviously this person has a problem. The punishment has been there to some degree because the car was removed and towed. And they got to pay to get it back. That's their problem, you know. But the second time, well, we're going to have to do something. And then, of course, at that point, it needs to be reported to the grand jury. And the grand jury has to call to have that person come before them. And they have to discuss the problem and see how they can work that out. We're dealing with human beings. It's not that we want to throw this person in jail, but we have to deal with this person. And your imagination can work off this. What can we do? And we'll share stories as we become grand jurors, because we'll meet. We'll continue to meet once a week on Monday nights. And we'll share stories. Hey, this is what we did, generically speaking. And this is what we did. And we'll become better jurists for this. So that's how you work that out. You have to figure it out yourself. We all have to grow up. We make our own decisions. Nobody makes them for you. There are 25 people in the room. They're the people that got to discuss it out and work it out. Or the 12 people in the room. They got to discuss it and work it out. But they have to work off these principles. And that's the important thing. Now, another thing we have that seems to be a problem or a question or thing to people, and by the way, on our front page here, we did redo the video, the main video on Frontline. You know, there was a couple of errors in there, you know, some word errors. We may not have caught all of them, but we did, while we're in there, we fixed a few of them. We also added some words here. You're going to want to reread the front page. We added some stuff. But the video is basically the same. It might be a minute or two shorter, because we repaired a few things, and I guess we just went through it a little quicker. But what we did add in here, we added another frame, and that frame really discussed how the grand jury is going to get power. And so we added that in there. And we're just going to cover just a little bit about this because it seems to be a question that comes up all the time. And no matter how many times we talk about it, it seems to come in. And we always have people new coming in. So we'll talk about it again. And if we have to, we'll talk another time. But let's look at it first, what the authority is. And then we're going to look in the power and how we get the power. In the beginning of this case, this is the case of Scalia. You know, this is a case of U.S. versus Williams. This is what was written by Scalia. And now this front area here, I'm not sure who wrote this in here, but this is a very small synopsis, or little pieces out of the case. So it is part of the case, but again, I don't know if it was originally part of the case, but it does come out of the case at worst case. But it says, we the people have been providentially provided legal recourse to address the criminal conduct of persons themselves entrusted to dispense justice in the Supreme Court case of United States versus Williams. Justice Anton Scalia, writing for the majority, confirmed that the American grand jury is neither part of the judicial, executive, nor legislative branch of government, but instead belongs to the people. It is, in effect, a fourth branch of government, governed and administered to directly by and on behalf of the American people, and its authority emanates through the Bill of Rights. Let me repeat that last part. It is, in effect, a fourth branch of government, governed and administered to, directly by, and on behalf of the American people, and its authority emanates from the Bill of Rights. So it is the people that govern the grand jury. It is the people that administer to the grand jury on behalf of the American people. And this is a right of the people. It is an unalienable right. It is not found in the Constitution. It's found in the Bill of Rights. And Scalia calls it a fourth branch of government. He goes on to say that they themselves cannot overrule the grand jury. If the grand jury makes a decision on a case not to send it to court and works out a plan to restore the injured party, and the defendant is willing to accept that responsibility and to restore that person, then the Supreme Court can't say anything, and neither can the prosecutor. The prosecutor can bring us the case, and we may make an arrangement instead of indicting them. And why not? That's exactly what we should be doing. And Scalia says even the United States Supreme Court can't question the actions and decisions of a grand jury. That's amazing. That's power. And we should take advantage of that power because we have to realize we consent to our government. So with that in mind, we can make any decision that we deem is just, honorable, and we've considered whatever mercy we can give in that we can make any decision as long as we find justice, as long as we fulfill the main principle or one of the foundational requirements of the common law grand jury, which is that for every injury there must be a remedy. And if we can do that without having to send the person to trial, why not? And by the way, we're the owners of this country. We can do it. We're the consentors. We're the people. The people rule over the people. And this is how that happens. This is what they've hidden from us. Now, if we go into the Declaration of Independence, we read, we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, that to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed. Let's go back to that. Deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed. from that what whenever any form of government becomes destructive to these ends, it is the right of the people to alter or to abolish it and to institute new government, laying its foundation on such principles and organizing its powers in such form as to them shall seem most likely to affect their safety and happiness. Now, it does go on to say, prudence and deeds will dictate that governments long established should not be changed for light and transient causes. Okay? And at this point, we don't have to change our government. All we have to do is bring them back and bind them down with the chains of the Constitution. Those are the words of Thomas Jefferson. And the grand jury can do that. We just bind them down with the chains of the Constitution. And then we will back. We will reset the political and judicial clocks again back to 1789. Let's see now. I'd like to cover just one more thing or two more things, and that is procedure. And this is the power. This is the teeth. First of all, let's look at the meaning of procedure. These are definitions coming out of Black's Law Dictionary, which are actual law. Supreme Court decisions also, and that's how Black's Law works out. Their meanings of the words usually through Supreme Court rulings. Some go back very far, but procedure, the mode of proceeding by which a legal right is enforced, as distinguished from the law which gives or defines the right, and which by means of the proceeding, the court is the administer. The machinery as distinguished from its product. So the court is to administer the machinery as distinguished from its product. Now you got to understand what that means. It's a machine that's moving, and the court is to administer the machinery. In other words, it is a process. And that's key to understanding what we're going to be talking about in a minute when we file papers with a clerk, because that's the machinery. It's a judicial process. It's a legal process. It's a machinery. It cannot be interfered with. It is distinguished from that of the product. It doesn't matter what the product is inside. It doesn't matter what decisions grand jury had made and put that paper. It has nothing to do with it. The whatever's in that case is irrelevant. It's the machinery of the moving of that process. There's another, a few more rulings. That which regulates the formal steps in an action or other judicial proceeding, a form, a manner, the order of conducting suits or prosecutions. Another one, the judicial process for enforcing rights and duties recognized by substantive law and for justly administering redress for infractions of them. Now, I bring that up because what we want to look at is on our file on demand, we do have some information on judicial process, okay? And this is the key. How do you get power? How do you get recognized? How do you get what you have to do done? Well, first of all, and we've said this many times and we'll say it again, before you could do anything, you must first achieve a seat in the courthouse. If you cannot get a seat into the grand jury room, you can do nothing. Now, we have people who try to frighten people. They say, oh, you're going to get arrested and this, that, and you're going to get in trouble, you're this, and all these stories. Now, it is true. Some people have done some stupid things. And I presume some people have been arrested. I don't know. I haven't really heard of anyone being arrested, but I guess it's possible. I've heard of people being investigated, and I've heard of grand juries getting frustrated because they couldn't get anything through. And that's because they didn't understand the process. They didn't do enough homework, you know, before they started what they were doing. They didn't follow through. And you see, here's the key thing. If you think you're going to be able to rule outside of the courtroom and sit in somebody's living room or on the computer somewhere with a group or in some hall someplace else other than in the courthouse and run an indictment, well, that's a problem. And I wouldn't do that. And some people are doing that. And that's the problem. You see, first order of business is getting a seat in the jury room. And that's what we talk about, and that's what we're showing you to do. First order of business is after we've done the election, is we file the papers. And we file the papers as you write them up the way we showed you to write them up. and you put all of the evidence underneath the declaration. It's got all of the power right in there. They cannot refuse it, and you put it with a file on demand. Now, before we go in, well, let's go through that, I guess. You put the file on demand, you file it. They have no choice but to accept it. I'm going to show you why in a few minutes. But it goes into the process. It gets filed with the clerk, with the court clerk. It also gets filed with the county clerk because it's a public notice. And now the court clerk, to let them know we're coming in to take the power that we, the people, are to take up. We're the boss. This is our power. And so once that's applied, and you put a cover letter in, which we give you an example of a cover letter, which is directed to the county clerk. We're going to rewrite that cover letter, by the way. Matter of fact, I'm going to rewrite that tomorrow. So before anybody does any filing, make sure you get the new cover letter, and we'll post it probably on a document page. I'll put new cover letter, and we'll also repair it inside the zip download. But that new cover letter really is a letter to the court clerk, for them to get to whoever's responsible to give us access or the keys to the grand jury room, okay? And basically, we're going to give you a call next Tuesday at 10 o'clock or whatever, you know, next Tuesday morning to make the arrangements to come down. And so we're giving them time to prepare to find the custodian involved that is responsible for that job to notify them. And so we will contact that custodian, and we will meet with that custodian in the courthouse, and we will get access into the grand jury room. Now, as soon as you get access into the grand jury room, should be at least four people that go down to do that. More the better, but at least four. And you go sit in that room, and you have a meeting. Spend 10 minutes or an hour. Try to spend an hour in there, just sitting down and talking and making some plans and thoughts and ideas, whatever. But try to spend some time in that room. Now, you've got access to the room, and you let it be known that you'll be coming at will. You don't know how often, but you'll just show up, and when it's necessary to let people know that we're there, we'll let them know. Other than that, we will be there. And for the first week, you want to try to go there every single day. Get them used to seeing you come through those gates and in, through those doors and into the grand jury room and close the door behind you and have a meeting, okay? And second order of business on the first day is you go down to the mail room and you find out what is the address for you. Where's your box? You probably don't need a number. It'll just be grand jury, U.S. Supreme Court grand jury room is probably it. But whatever the protocol is, they'll tell you, oh, yeah, it's room 303, grand jury room. Well, should we use grand jury room or for mail, or should we use 303? And whatever they tell you down there, that's what you use. So you find out where your box is, and you get that number or the name, and you let them know that someone will be dropping by every day, or maybe not so much in the beginning, but will be checking the mail, okay? As a matter of fact, get some people to send you some mail there. We'll talk about possibly what we could do with that, but just get some mail going through there. But the point is now you put on your letterhead. Okay, you're going to get this the first day that you get in. You're now going to put on your letterhead the address of the courthouse, grand jury room, unless they give you a number, grand jury room 302, whatever it is. Okay, now you have authority. Okay, now you've been accepted. Whether they liked you or not is irrelevant. You've been accepted into the system. You're sitting in that room, and you're going to govern through that room. You do all of your work outside. You know, phone calls, administration, writing letters, sending things out, you know, and maybe, you know, of course, discussing potential investigations, discussing cases maybe in Skype, or we're going to put some tools upline to people who get access to different conference rooms that are free, by the way. So you discuss all those things. But when you time, if you have to do an investigation, well, you know, you go out and you do the investigation on site. But if you're taking it before the grand jury to consider indictment, that must be done in the grand jury room. And also when you call people in to talk with them, it must be done in the grand jury room. And so you do that there. Now, the first week, you want to get together and you want to talk with the judge. You find one day during the first week that you're going to talk with the judge. Another day during the week, you're going to talk with the prosecutor. Another day during the week, you're going to talk with the sheriff. another day during the week you're going to start calling in maybe town and municipalities, cities, town and cities judges. Bring them in. You're going to talk with them too. Now, what are you going to say to them? What's the protocol? What exactly are you going to cover? We're going to write papers on all of those individuals, and it's just kind of a framework. I know it's going to be a framework of what I'm going to do, and if you want to follow it to the letter, fine. If you want to tweak it, fine. That's your business. You're the people. You're in charge. You got to step up and do the thing you have to do. But generally speaking, you follow the protocol within reason of what we're talking about. What we're looking to do is to get authority, to be seen as authority, to get control of the judicial process, to bring it back into a common law procedure, to take control of an out-of-control prosecutor, put him back in his box, and to bring the sheriff in to educate him and become friends with them. And you become friends with all these people. It doesn't matter that they're evil. You become friends with it. God will deal with the evil side. You just deal with their human side and treat them with respect and honor and be humble and just go on. We're here to save the nation. We're here to save the republic. We're not here for revenge. We're not here for a witch hunt. Justice will find itself in its time. We don't have to worry about it. It'll come, okay? Let's just do what we have to do to bring order back and return our courts and our political process back to 1789. So it's a pretty simple process. Now, what's going to prevent them from taking our paperwork and not getting it through? Well, I can tell you that every single jury that did was failed for a couple of reasons. The main reason is they usually don't know who to give the paper to. A lot of them think they got to give it to the prosecutor. Some people will tell, no, you got to give it to the sheriff. Both of them are wrong. And there are even people that say you got to give it to judge. No, if you're giving it to an individual, then they have decisionary control over that. They can take that piece of paper, roll it up, and throw it in the garbage. First of all, they don't owe you anything, and they don't have to do anything with that paper. You went to the wrong person. You got to go to the clerk. The clerk must receive it. They cannot do it, anything. And look on this, notice, file on demand. It goes to say, be it further known, if the clerk has been instructed by a judge or other public official who is superior to your office to not file certain documents, to remove certain documents, or have knowledge of the removal of certain documents, and you feel compelled to obey that person, you must consider. And then we go through what they must consider. A clerk does not have the authority of tribunal powers. They can't make a decision. They have to just file the papers before them. Of course, if it's a paper that doesn't belong to be filed there, they can reject that and say that doesn't come here. That's not part of what we do. If it lacks some procedure or some verbiage that they think is important to have on that, well, you say, well, what is the requirement? And they'll tell you, and then you just put those words in and give them the requirement. Other than that, they cannot refuse it. They must receive the paper. They must file it. Okay? Now, Article 4, Section 1 of the Constitution for the United States of America states, full faith and credit shall be given in each state to the public acts, records, and judicial proceedings of every other state. Let me repeat that. Judicial proceedings of every other state. That is the key. Judicial proceedings are the same throughout the country in every court. They all have the same. They cannot break the proceedings, the procedures, the process, the judicial proceedings. Okay? And it goes on, any citizen who is aware of a felony and so on and so forth. You know, we're not going to read this whole document. Anybody can go upline and read this document. It's in the zip package with how to, get started a grand jury in your county. Okay? But we're going to look at some highlighted areas here. Engaging in misleading conduct. Whoever knowingly uses intimidation, threatens, or corruptly persuades another person or attempts to do so or engages in misleading conduct towards another person with the intent to prevent the testimony of a person in an official proceeding. Now, wait a second. First of all, a testimony of persons or a person in an official proceeding also describes the grand jury, doesn't it? Because we have testimony and we're making a bill that is to be put forward as either a presentment or an indictment. And nobody can interrupt that official proceeding. And it goes on, for withhold a document from an official proceeding. Well, let me just read. Whosoever corruptly alters, destroys, mutilates, or conceals a record document or other object or attempts to do so with the intent to impair the object in integrity or availability for the use in official proceeding, or otherwise obstructs, influences, or impedes any official proceeding, or attempts to do so, shall be fined under this title or imprisoned not more than 20 years or both. 20 years in the slammer for interrupting an official proceeding. Now, you tell me the judge that's willing to spend 20 years in jail. You show me the clerk. Well, the clerk won't get 20 years in jail for this, because this is really for the judge right here. This is 18 U.S.C. subsection 1512B, okay? This is meant specifically for the judge. Now, there's other language in here that's really meant for the clerk. And let's go back. Any citizen who is aware of a felony offense, or this is anybody who's aware of these things, being committed by any public official who violated the Constitution, is mandated to report it. But anyway, they can be fined under this title, imprisoned for not more than 3 years or both. So it's 3 years in the slammer for anybody who doesn't report the crime. That's just for reporting the crime, okay? Again, concealment or removal or mutilation. This is 18 U.S.C. subsection 2771. Whoever willfully and unlawfully conceals, removes, mutilates, obliterates, or destroys, or attempts to do so, or with intent to do so, takes and carries away any record, proceeding, map, books, papers, documents, and so on. Okay, whoever have the custody of any such record, proceeding, and so on, willfully and unlawfully conceals, removes, mutilates. You know, some people say, well, they'll let it fall into a dark hole, or they'll just freeze it up somewhere. Well, there's a couple of years in jails for that, for those people who do that also. They can be imprisoned for not more than 3 years or both. You see, this is a very serious thing. When a grand jury takes an indictment or a presentment or files a paper, such as a declaration, and files it with the clerk can do nothing but take it and file it. It goes through a process. It becomes part of the procedure. It goes down the assembly line, and nobody can touch it. Nobody can prevent the proceeding, the judicial proceeding, the official proceeding, the process, the official proceeding. They can't stop it. They can't prevent it. They can't make it fall into a dark hole somewhere. They can't cover it up. And they certainly better not mail it to you, because that's another 20 years on top of that. So you see, you have authority. You're sitting in a grand jury room. You've been accepted. You're getting mail there. You're meeting there. You talk to the judge there. You talk to everyone, you know, the prosecutor. You meet with the sheriff. He knows exactly who you are. You could talk to the sheriff till you're blue in the face. I'm telling you, a lot of stuff that you think he should be doing, and you're telling him he's not going to do it because he's not educated enough to know what he should be doing to begin with, unfortunately. But he's certainly not going to listen to you if he thinks that he's going to get in trouble for it. But if you're sitting in that grand jury room and you tell him that this is what he's got to do, and even if it sounds kind of odd to him, he's going to listen. And as long as he understands that, well, look, you obey us and we're good. You break the law and what we're telling you not to do, we're not good. And he's going to think about that. And you're going to have control over him. And he's going to obey the law. And we're going to give him a jurist, a sheriff, bailiff handbook, and judge handbook. It's made for the jurist. It's made for the bailiff, the sheriff, and the judge. And we'll give one to the prosecutor. And if they got three or four people working for them, we'll give them four or five or six booklets, whatever it is. I am in negotiation right now with a different group of people who are going to do things for cost for us. And I hope to get a price tomorrow and maybe get some books ordered, and others will be able to order books very soon. So we'll see once how that comes down. Okay, let me see if there's anything else. I think we're at the end of what I wanted to cover. The key thing is this. We are ready. It's time to go. We're going to be filing this week. We're going to start our filings here in New York between Wednesday and Friday. So anytime from Wednesday on to do it. We also, and again, look it, even if you got the paperwork done, check your front page on the paperwork because, again, that has to be repaired. I'm looking to see where it's at. Goodness, I got to come here. But it's extremely important you go back and you go through the process. Oh, let me go to the website to do this. You got to go and you got to go through the process. Just read through this process again. Power of the grand jury, that's not it. Probably should have just went down and clicked the button. Okay. Orientation. Jurist orientation. Down on the bottom of the jurist orientation page, there's another link that leads you to another page that shows you how to start a grand jury. Click here on that link right there on the bottom. Okay? Now, this is, everybody should go through this again. It's only 35 minutes. This is extremely important. We changed the idea of serving papers. We're not going to serve papers to the court. I think it's a little extreme. We're kind of intimidating them. We're kind of poking them in the eye. I don't think we should do it that way. What we're going to do is we're going to file it through certified mail with return slip. That's what we're going to do that with the clerk, and we're going to do that with the court. Okay? All you have to do is call up the county clerk and find out what the charge is for filing a a public notice. You just want to file a public notice in the with the court clerk. And if they ask you, well, what is it about? Well, it's none of their business. Just how much does it cost to do it? That's all you want to know. Do not answer them. Okay? Just, you know, look at that's really none of your business. How much does it cost? What do you charge? And they'll tell you $10, $15. I don't think it's expensive. You don't have to get a LIBOR number. That could be $60-$70. Just file it generally, generically, you know, $15-$20. And what you do is you put in a $15 or $20, whatever it is, money order in with the paperwork that you're going to send to the clerk for filing. And find out if they need two copies. They may want two copies. Matter of fact, they do want two copies. One copy they get and another copy, well, no. Find out how that works. But when you send it to them, you write a little letter and you say the money's enclosed and you want a stamped copy of the front page. Okay? So it shows that it has been filed and a receipt. And you give them a self-addressed envelope, a stamped envelope in the envelope with all this stuff. And you just mail it and you'll get a return receipt and they will file it. And you will then get the return. They'll mail it back to you in the self-addressed stamped envelope. They'll mail back a copy of the filing date and time and your receipt. Okay? Now, you do the same thing with the court clerk, except that you don't have to pay them any money. But you're just going to get a return slip from them. With them, you're going to put a cover letter telling them you're going to call them next week or whatever on a certain day find out who the custodian is. That you can get access to the room. And then you make that phone call on that day, and then you make the arrangements to come down and make sure four people at least go down and you get access into the room. Okay, I know I've been talking a long time. I guess there was a lot of details in the stuff we were talking about. But it's extremely important that we all start filing immediately. Any state that has five or more counties needs to file. And all counties there and after, file at will. But you have to connect. You have to come together in your state. United we stand, divided we fall. And when you become united in your state, and we become united in our state, and other states become united in their states, we on a national level will work together, and united we stand, and divided we fall. So we will work together to do whatever has to be done to bring law and order back into this great country. All right, with that, we'll take questions, comments, discussions. I see Gloria
John,
Johnson.
John.
Go ahead.
Can you see my – John, can you
yes,
hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
Oh, okay. Did you go to Gloria? I think her hand's been up. You might have already – we might have already
– Yeah, I'll unmute her. Are we ready for
everything? I have something in the text chat that I consider pretty important.
Okay, go right ahead, then we'll get Gloria next. Anybody else can raise your hands. Yep.
Ron Esram, says, people in Ohio are not getting registered and calling me about it. Is there anything they can do different? I'm not sure what he's talking about. Does he mean when they're trying to sign up under a state? You know, in which case they could email Carl or me at support, and we would put them in if they gave us their information. But I don't know. Is Ron have a mic? Can we talk to him?
Ron, where are you? Ron, raise your hand, Ron.
He may be on where? I don't even see him.
It's in alphabetical order. JK is down towards the bottom, I guess.
Okay, let me scroll through and see if we can.
He says no, he's on the website. Well, he should be able to talk if he's got a mic. Do you have a mic, Ron?
Yeah. Let me unmute him. There, he's unmuted.
Yeah, if you got a mic, Ron, you could talk.
I just unmuted him, so.
Oh, no, he doesn't have a mic. Okay. Okay, what you could do, Ron, I'm not sure exactly what you're saying.
We have had trouble with people signing in and the name not going in, and I don't know, you have to go back and try it again, but if you there's a support button there, and if they give us their name and their county and all the pertinent information, we need to know the state, the county, and their name.
Here it is. Let me show it to them. It says here, this is the registration form, okay? So when you go here, it says, if you have problems submitting this form, click here, and a mail will open up. Okay, let me show you. I'll click there. My mail should open up. Okay, I've probably got a lot of mails. Jeez. Hopefully it'll go through quickly anyway. Okay, it should have shown. There it is, right here. You see? It'll open. Well, my mail, I won't be able to get here until my mail filters all the way through. Let's see. Okay, so if you click that, your mail browser should open up, and it should be all filled in here, support at nationallibertyalliance.org, and in the subject matter, problems with registering, please register me, okay? And then in here, you write your information. So what you would have written down here, your state, do you want to be an organizer, your county, your town, your title, first name, last name, email, telephone, and address, and zip code. Just type that into the email line by line and then send it to us, and we will get you in. Whoever puts you in will return the email to you. You know, we'll send you a message saying, yeah, we got you and you're in, and we'll give you a page to go to for jurist orientation, which, by the way, is right there. You can see highlighted on the left side. You want to go to that page. We'll send you a link to that page. But that's the page where you want to get orientation. So that's how you can get through that. I don't know why we have that problem, but we do have people, I don't know, maybe 1 in 50 or something that have this problem, and we have to put them in manually. So we'll put you in manually. We are working on another website that's much more sophisticated and integrated and much more convenient for everybody and to more interaction. And once we get that up, this problem will be solved. I don't know that we can solve this problem before that. I'll have to talk with the guy that handles that part of the website. Is Lee here, by the way?
No. I thought I saw him, but I don't see him now. I don't know.
Okay. All right, so is that okay? And if you need to talk to me, I'll tell you what, after the program tonight, you can call me at, you'll find my phone number here on the site contact. Let's see, it's moving a little slow. There it is. Right there is my phone number right here. You can call me, 233-6560, 845 area code. But it's right on the site. Give me a call, and if we need to discuss anything else, or you can call me tomorrow, next day, whenever. You know, unless you really have a problem, you know, don't call me. But if you need to, call me. Okay. I guess, Gloria. You're unmuted, Gloria Johnson. Go right ahead.
You're unmuted, Gloria.
And anybody else that has anything, raise your hand. Gloria? Gloria? You're on. Mic's open. Are you at your computer, Gloria?
Uh-oh. Yes.
Yeah, how you doing? Did you want to talk? I see your hand is up.
Oh, no. I just kept losing your audio.
Oh.
We're having a huge thunderstorm, lightning storm.
Yeah, we had one of them a little earlier today.
No, I'm off that.
Okay, thank you, Gloria. If you got any questions, just raise your hand again.
All right. Thanks.
All right, anybody else?
Thank you.
Thank you. You're welcome. Anybody else have anything, questions, comments?
You got another hand up there. It's been up for 5 or 6 minutes. Where is it?
Yeah, where is it?
Maybe he took it down. I just saw it before you opened Gloria up. Hang on, let me just double check.
We'll open up Van right now while you're looking for someone else. Van, did you want to talk?
Yeah, I want to talk.
How you doing, Van?
Can you hear me?
I can hear you, Van.
If I didn't know any better, I think you guys were a bunch of goofs, but I love you.
Thank you.
I love my country, and my country's on a spiral decline that is unreal. And
I agree. That's why we're working so hard.
But I'm totally lost in what you're trying to do. You guys are not pedagogues. And I got a guy named the senator from New York. I don't know what you guys are talking about, but if I could indict him, I'd do it right now.
Right.
And I'm 84 years old. I don't give a shit what they think about me.
I'm right behind you, Van.
But this guy is a criminal.
Yes, I know. You're absolutely right. They're progressives. They're both of them.
I want to start from scratch and learn what you're trying to do. I think it's fantastic.
What state are you in?
I'm in New York City. I'm in Brooklyn.
Oh Brooklyn. Hey, we're coming down to Queens. We're coming down to Queens in 2 days.
Call me, for Christ's sake. You guys have no idea.
I'm going to call you. Did you?
You're in a maze of... I've been trying to... I'm on a little creek here, and they fish, and it's polluted, and they crab, and the guy sells the crabs. It's taken me 2 months to finally get to the right people to stop this guy. I'm a right-wing, rabid Republican, or conservative. I've been in 15 presidential elections that I've worked with, and we're going down the tube. I am about to become, I'm going to buy a boat and become a South American citizen. This country's gone, man.
I know, it's in trouble.
We're going to do something.
Well, you're absolutely right, Ben. Look, one of the things you have to realize is, first of all, our founding fathers didn't leave us helpless and hopeless, okay?
No, they didn't.
What they did is they hid from us the power, and we found it. By God's mercy, we found it. We found it. By the way, I forgot to say we're 15 seconds to midnight, so I should have started off with that. We found it just 30 seconds to midnight. And by God's mercy, it's moving through this country quickly. It's moving like wildfire. We started off with just New York some 10, 12 weeks ago, whatever it was. And today we have this program working in 46 states. For those who don't know it, we have 46 states on board with us moving towards this process. And so we have 4 states that are not with us yet, and let us expose them. I don't know what's going on in those states. Maybe they're not paying attention. Maybe the word isn't out. But if you know anybody in these 4 states, get the word to them. Let's get it going. Nebraska, Vermont, North Dakota, West Virginia. Those are the only 4 states we're missing. We need someone in those 4 states to take up the hammer here to get started there. But in any event, we've got a lot of people here, so hopefully someone will find somebody. And by the way, those of us that are in this meeting tonight, we have over 700-800 people involved with us right now. We definitely have over 700. I think we may, I don't know if we hit the 800 mark yet, but we've got a lot of people involved with us. And yet we only have, we had 168 people sign up for tonight's meeting, but only 67 are here. We actually had 72 a little while ago. So we have 72 people that came out out of some 700 people or so. And we need to get the rest of these people out here. So look
John,
around.
I got a way for you to get them to participate. So
yeah.
Get back to me, will you?
I will call you if you want to. I'll tell you what, after tonight's meeting, give me a call. I'll give you my number. Okay?
Give it to me.
845. Gerard, can you text them my number? 233.
Okay.
6560. I hope I got
it. I have his cell phone.
845. It's right here, as a matter of fact. 845-233-6560. Well, I meant to text them here in this text area.
Oh.
Okay. But anyway, so we have these four states we haven't got. Okay, we need to get these four states. We also need to get all the people that are not coming to this Monday night meeting to come to this. Look, if we're not organized, we can't win. We have to organize.
John, you're going to make the same mistake that the stupid Republicans. You don't engage the people. I've got a program that you can engage these people and get a million people engaged.
We're going to talk. Give me a call after this program. You call me at that number and we'll talk, okay?
You got it.
Okay. Now, meanwhile, for you to get up and bone up on where we're at and what we're doing, go to our welcome page. You've been to our website already, nationallibertyalliance.org?
A dozen times.
Okay. Then read through the front page and watch the videos and then follow through. Follow the breadcrumb trails. You get yourself, have you registered?
I don't know what you mean. I registered.
Up here, register as a jurist in your county. Right there, at the top of the page.
Okay.
Register up there. And then go to the right side and join our national meetup. So you go to both ones. You join here in the national meetup, and you register as a jurist here, and then you follow the bread trail, the breadcrumb trail, right down here. Once you register, you'll be brought to a page that says read. Let's see what it says exactly. You'll be brought to a page that says read this page. Okay? So this is an important page to go through. Meanwhile, we're coming to Queens, and if you want to meet up, we're going to be in Queens.
I want to meet you.
Okay, we're going to be in Queens on Wednesday. We have an election there in Queens at 7 p.m. We just elected Brooklyn last week, I think it was. Let's see, Bronx. We did Brooklyn on the 21st, 2 weeks ago.
Where in Brooklyn?
I forget where exactly we went in Brooklyn. It was a library. And we did the Bronx last week. We did Putnam County last week. We did Columbia County last week. We're doing Queens this week. And Manhattan, I'm still waiting for Manhattan. The guy was away that's setting this up. He was away for vacation. Hopefully he's on tonight. And he's supposed to be getting Manhattan going.
So you're up in Westchester?
I'm in Dutchess County.
Okay.
But I will travel anywhere. Matter of fact, some people in Jersey asked me to come out there. When I'm finished with New York, if they want me out there, I'll go to Jersey. So let's get it done. Let's get grand juries all over the country. We want 3,141 grand juries here in the United States of America. Okay.
Let's get one in every zip code.
Well, we're going to get one in every county. So wherever there's a courthouse, that's where we want a grand jury. And again, at some point we will establish four powerful, strong people in each county that will administrate the process. We can't give it to the – obviously we can't let the courts administrate, because what they do is they screen out the people. And they get these puppet grand juries and puppet juries together. We cannot give it to them. It is the responsibility of the people to administer this process. So we take care of the administration process of it. And those four people, they're paid positions. So we'll get into more detail about that and how we're going to get money. Every grand jury has a budget. We're grand juries. We're going to get budgets.
And raise all the money you need. So.
Yep. All right, we're going to talk
better call him.
Yeah. And by the way, anybody who can go out to our site and give a few bucks, everybody can afford 10 bucks a month maybe, I'm sure, most people anyway, 10, 20 bucks a month. Click on our donate button and give us 10, 20 bucks a month. you know, this thing we're on right now is costing $250 a month. Someone's got to pay the bill, and it's going to be due again in another couple of weeks. So, you know, we need some money.
I'll help you.
All right, we appreciate it. So, whatever anybody can say.
We always dig deep in our own pockets first, but they're getting
My pockets are empty.
Pushing holes through the pocket, you know.
My pockets, it's nothing but a big hole. There's nothing there.
John, I'll be. How soon can I call you?
Right after this program tonight. You can call me if you want.
You got it.
When we push the end button, you can call me.
You got it.
All right. Okay.
We got two problems that are similar. We have, somebody says they don't have grand jury rooms, and of course, we know Montana doesn't have grand juries, period. So, they're going to have to make one. Well, places that have no grand juries is going to have to,
Every court that handles criminal cases must have a grand jury room. How can they not have a grand jury room?
No, Montana doesn't call grand juries, remember?
Well, no, they won't.
They don't use grand juries, period. They said that the judge can call them, but they don't. Right, it's at his discretion.
Right, but I'm sure they do call them from time to time.
No. They're putting people in jail without grand juries. They're totally violating the Constitution.
Okay, we've got to get some contractors out there in Montana. We'll set something up with the courthouses. So they got it. We'll work that out. Look, that's a special problem. We will help Montana to work that out. We'll be creative. But first, you got to get your grand juries elected, and you file them all together at the same time. And the rest of the states out here, there is precedences where states have come to the rescue of other states. I don't know the process.
They can't really send this stuff into the court clerk then, right?
Let's talk about that and let me do some investigation on Montana myself. Let me see what I can find out. I'll talk to some other people who are more knowledgeable than me and see what they can find out. And we'll get to the bottom of Montana. We have some people out in Montana. We can call Doc out there, and he can maybe go out and find out some stuff.
And the most important thing is that they get a group of people in neighboring counties, 5, 6, 7, the more the better counties, and institute the grand jury regardless. We don't care what they say. This is the Constitution of the United States says that you can't be tried without a grand jury.
I was on a radio program, which was an internet radio program that was out from Montana, and I'll call those people up because they were very interested in what we're doing. They come here to our meetings. I don't know if they're here tonight, and they'll do. We'll tell them what to look for. We'll do some investigation, and we'll figure out what needs to be done out in Montana. We know Washington has a problem also, but Washington has grand juries. They don't want anything but puppet grand juries because they're all criminals out there, just like here in New York. You know?
Yeah, they say that only the judge can call the grand jury, which is baloney.
They've got the same problem in Washington, D.C.
So. That's right. We have the same problem in every state of the union. You know?
We impeach Obama?
Well, look it. We'll deal with that later. Right now, let's save the republic. You know, Alex Jones, I'm sure, is going to bring something to the grand jury once we get everything going. There's a lot of people involved that whatever it is, look it. If they bring it to the grand jury, we have to do what we have to do. But right now, let's take control and let's bring the process back. There's so many criminals out there; they will be brought to justice, and give it due time. God knows what he's doing. You know.
Well, when we get all the states going, you know, then we can discuss that stuff because,
right.
You know, listen, if we get all your counties and all your states, Obama becomes pretty impotent, believe me. I mean, maybe he might try declaring war or something stupid like that, but, you know, when you get your states locked down with this grand jury thing, ultimately, you're going to get your congressmen and senators locked down because we're going to be calling them in. When they do unconstitutional votes and stuff, we're going to call them in, and we'll be getting...
This is you're talking something that's very important, but I cannot conceive of it. You got to get me tuned in somehow. How do we?
No, they'll come in. Listen, we're not gonna pull them in and necessarily indict them right off the bat. What we're gonna do is we have a plan. First, the first thing you do is you get the judge, you get your court in order, and that's
find
the judge
strong
and the prosecutor, right? once you got your county court in order, and then you got multiple county courts in order, then we're gonna go up and we're gonna talk to the Congress of the state and the legislators, and we're gonna read them the Riot Act. I'm gonna say, listen, the people are back in town, and here's what you're gonna do, and here's what you're not gonna do.
When we have most of the states together, then we focus in on Washington.
Oh, they'll listen, believe me, because when you call them, they'll come. They'll come because the judge will send them a summons if they don't.
Have you got any CDs that explain all this?
It's all on the website. That's it. You know, people who don't have anybody who doesn't have a computer needs to get a computer, because that's where our education is. We get so much up there. When they start going, they'll spend the rest of their life on this website if they wanted to. We have all the great works. We have all the philosophers of the 17th century that our founding fathers learned from. We've got so many documents up there.
The French philosopher says you get the government that you deserve.
Right.
That's right.
That's true. But it's all in the process. So you start the process, and it has to go through. You know what I mean? Once you get the judge bound down, he'll send the summons. And believe me, they don't want to get indicted, because if they get indicted, they're done. They can't serve until it's straightened out.
By the way, if anybody that doesn't have a computer, if you know anybody that doesn't have a computer and they can't do things because they don't have a computer, you know, you can go online. You can go and buy. I think Tiger Direct. You can buy. There's many places. But you can buy refurbished laptops. And there's some of these laptops are very good and they're fast. They're
Sears,
not that old.
Sears has them, too.
You can buy them for $200 a refurbished laptop that's got plenty of speed, okay? And so you play around with it. They'll figure out how to work it. They just get somebody to show them. It's not a big thing to learn how to turn it on and get to a website and search the web.
You don't need a laptop. You just have a terminal. It'll all be on the cloud.
Yeah, the cloud. Stay away from that cloud.
Obama's buying cell phones. When's he going to get the laptops?
Hey, listen, Obama makes monkeys out of the Republicans.
Well, and again, you know, both three parties, as you know, are lost. You know, you got the criminals on the right and the criminals on the left. But the bottom line is we're about justice, and justice is going to bring law and order not only to the courts but to the political process, and that's all we care about. We don't care if Hitler is the president, and we don't care if a Congress is full of Stalins. It's irrelevant. As long as they obey the law, we don't care. Their soul, God will judge them for their souls. We will judge them for their actions as representatives, as servants.
What do you guys feel about the monetary system?
Well, it's about to collapse. What monetary system? You mean the notes of credit, the notes of debt?
The paper money we got. That's what's going to kill us.
What do you think they're beating the war drum for? They're beating the war drum because they're getting to the end of this money system, and they're looking for an excuse.
They're going to pull the plug,
but you know, we'll be, if they can get us in the middle of the war, we can have some death and destruction over here and say, oh, we can't talk about that right now. We're in the middle of a crisis.
That's why we tell people we have to do it now. People have got to react now. People have got to get grand juries going now. There's no time left. We've got to do it now.
I'll call you as soon as we're done.
Okay, sounds good. All right, let me move to the next person. If you want to talk again, just raise your hand, okay? All right, let's go to the next person. We have Gloria Johnson. Go right ahead. Gloria.
Hi, John. I just wanted to know, when did Rhode Island sign up?
Don't know when, but Rhode Island is in. Let's see.
I know somebody's laughing. Because I've been in their courts, and something changed in the past 3 weeks. The people, the clerks are just like such.
We only have one person in
Rhode Island.
We only have one person in Rhode Island. So maybe they hear about us coming. Maybe they hear the war drums.
Right, exactly.
So.
But do you have a date approximately?
When they came in? No, I don't. I'd have to go in the back office and look.
Yeah.
So, but I can't do that right now.
Well, the last time I talked to you, they weren't. Right, when I saw you in Saratoga.
We need some volunteers. We need some volunteers, and you don't even have to tell me you're doing this. I mean, or you can, whatever, but I'll keep looking for volunteers till I know someone is doing this. We need volunteers to go through all of the leaders on every state and call them up and make sure that they're all communicating with each other. Make sure that they're moving through their state and they got someone organized in their state to make sure they get a hold of the counties that haven't come in board yet.
Okay.
Got someone with background noise out there. So. Anything else, Gloria?
That's it. Thank you, John.
All right, Gloria. Thank you. Okay, we have Ellie, E-L-E. Is that Ellie? Or Eli? Ely?
No. I think she's abbreviating it. I think it's
Ellen?
Elaine or something. Elena.
Well, Gagliano.
Could that be our Elena?
I don't know.
Is that our Elena from our group?
I don't know.
I don't know that she can talk. She was having trouble before. I think
let's try Joseph Patterson. We'll leave her unmuted for a while. See if she pipes
in. She said she just found 6 states that allow citizen petition grand juries: Kansas, New Mexico, North Dakota, Nebraska, Nevada, Oklahoma. How are they different from what we're doing? And I'm typing here that
we really don't
know. But the thing is our grand juries are not run by judges, and we don't.
Oh yeah. If they're using the word citizen, they haven't looked at the common law. So
the other thing is the grand jury is guaranteed under the United States Constitution. It says you shall not be tried for a crime, any notorious or capital crime, without a jury of your peers, and that's the grand jury. So any state that says that you don't have a grand jury, they're off the wall to begin with.
Yeah, we'll violating your rights. We will fix them.
And so the states that have so-called citizen grand jury, it should be easier in those states, because these are petitioned. She says petition the grand juries, allow citizen petition, whatever that means. In other words, citizens can petition and put a grand jury. But you see, they're asking for permission. In no way do we ask for permission. We demand it as we the people. You know, the NSA didn't ask permission to spy on us, and we're not asking permission to go through their stuff and investigate them, because we're the boss, we're the people, and this is the hidden fourth branch, and we're exercising now, so they need to get over it. And you know, we got a big stick in that hand, so we're going to swing it, too.
Hey, do you know how what the codes are to raise hand, bring down hand, or to...
You know, I was going to ask you that, and
anybody
I don't
that's on the phone that knows the codes, maybe they can raise their hand, or even if
it's
you're
like,
not on the
it's
phone.
Like a, it's like, isn't it like know. Star 6 or Star 8?
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't, this stupid webmare, they don't tell me where it is. I went on questions and all that other stuff, and I can't find that.
All right. Well, Joseph is open, and so is Van Volma. So either one that has wants to pick up the mic, just go right ahead and talk.
What I'd like to do is kind of clear up something.
Who's talking?
Van.
Okay, go ahead, Van.
All right. So we got a grand jury.
Yeah.
What do we do? What are we accomplishing? I'd like to indict Schumer, but
we can't.
What do we do? How
we
do we
can't do that? Well, it's very simple. What we do
what
is
do
this:
we
bind down the first order of business is to get a seat in the grand jury room so we have authority,
and get
a mailing address, which we go down to the mail room and we put it on our letterhead. The second order of business is we call in the judge. We have a meeting with the judge, and we let him know in no uncertain terms, but we'll be polite, we'll be humble, and we kind of lead him to the point that, you know, things haven't been operating here as advertised, and we need a common law court in here because that's what the Constitution requires. And we have a problem, and that is that your court is not operating that way. And we have a duty to repair and fix all wrongdoing. So we need for you to reestablish the common law in your court. And if you need to get some understanding of it, I'm sure you will know how it works and you can bone up on it. But if you have any questions, feel free to call us. But before he leaves that room, before he leaves that grand jury room, which we called him down to, we need an answer. And if he leaves without an answer, we'll assume his answer is he's going to ignore us. So he's got three choices. He can submit and do the will of his boss, which is us. He can resign, or he can be indicted. So he can choose any of those three. Well, it's all up to him.
There's a fourth one. He can laugh at you.
Well, no. Well, that means he chose to be indicted. So we do a presentment, and in the presentment, he's removed from office, and another judge is brought in to fill his place. They'll have to appoint someone until they elect another judge, and he'll have the same choice. It's either going to be a common law to obey the Constitution, or it's the highway, one or the other. And he could take the highway by either resigning, or he can let us indict him. We'll do a presentment on him. We'll only have to present. We'll only have to indict one person, and that'll be that. You know, they'll know we mean business then. Same thing with the prosecutor. We let the prosecutor know that he's been doing illegal things, whether he realizes or not. We understand it's been going like this all his life, and this is what he inherited, and we can appreciate that. But from this point forward, you want a grand jury, you call us. You want a trial jury, it's not even your job to ask for one. The courts will ask for one, and they'll call us. And if you go back and use a grand jury that's puppetized, then we're going to indict you. And we'll get another a lawyer to we'll have to hire as a we don't want attorneys, but you see the Bar Association is another problem, but we can ignore that, because when lawyers come into the courtroom and realize that they're losing the cases because they're applying statutes that are irrelevant instead of common law, if they want to continue to make money, they're going to start boning up. And they'll learn, and they'll leave their bar association eventually.
Let me stop you there. Are we in, you want to get involved in regular criminal cases?
That's all the grand jury deals with is criminal cases.
All right, but now are we dealing with political criminal cases?
We deal with political and judicial criminals, and it doesn't matter what party they're in. If they're committing a crime, we fix it, and if they don't fix it, we give them a prescription. If they don't take the fix it with the prescription, we then can bring them before the 25 for indictment.
How do you get to that point? I mean,
fine. Now, what do you want Schumer to stop doing? Obviously, he's breaking the law. Here's how we deal with Schumer, and here's how we deal with all the other guys. The reason why they're corrupt is because they're taking payoffs. When they go to Washington, they're taking money from the special interest groups, okay? And in Washington, which is the District of Columbia, it's legal for them to take those payoffs. But it's not legal in New York, because in New York we call that a bribe. And if we discover that they're taking money from special interest groups in order to seal their vote for some stupid thing, then when they hit New York border, we'll have the sheriff waiting there with a set of bracelets to take him right to his new home, a nice little cell, because we're going to indict him.
All right, let's talk about what you're saying.
Right.
When I first came to New York, they had the three strikes, you're out. If you were convicted three times, you were out of society. You went to jail forever. It didn't happen because Schumer killed it.
Well, that should never happen anyway. They have to do something radical like that because they can't fix the problems, and also, the system is not set to fix the problem. When you have a common law system set up, it's all built upon remedy. It's built upon justice. And what you're going to do is you're going to take, let's say someone robs $1,000 from you, okay? And now that you've been damaged by $1,000 and this person damaged you, and they come before the grand jury for potential indictment. We're going to look at the case to see if we're going to bring it before the 25. And so we work out an arrangement with you, and we say to you, well, look, the Bible requires seven times back. If you steal someone's ox, you have to give them seven oxes back. So if someone steals $1,000 from you, they got to give you $7,000 back. Is that good with you? And as long as you agree that's the Supreme Court allows up to nine, okay, the present court system that's in process now, they allow up to nine. But they adjust that from anywhere from 2, 3, 4, 5, all the way up to 9. You know, we go biblical, it's 7, period. That's it. So we'll offer 7. And if you think that's good, then we will take that to the individual who damaged you, and they have the option of just accepting it. If they accept it, obviously they're guilty. They accept it. And at the end of paying back that $7,000, that's the end of their sentence, okay? And you'll be back good with society again. And maybe during the process, maybe the person will become a human being. Maybe he'll learn compassion. Maybe we'll be able to bring him back into society as a person who can give back to society. But we certainly can't shun him or her, because what happens there is we create a worse criminal. We have to work them back into society. You see, this is the human thing. It's the forgiving thing. It's the merciful thing. It's the just thing. It's the honorable thing. Now, of course, if you have a person that breaks the law again, okay, well, then they're going to have to pay restitution again. And if they're going to live their entire life paying restitution, and that's what they'll do.
How does that all equate to political?
Well, I'll give you an example. Right now, the reason why in New York here we have no control over the political system is because the Board of Election, the New York State Board of Election, has expunged the elected committeeman. And so the committee man process is controlled by two private associations that call themselves the Democratic and the Republican Party, but they're private associations. They act and are controlled no different than that of any communist structure. It's a top-down structure, and everybody's told what to do, and if you don't obey, they throw you out. And people think they're elected, but they're not. So what we can do once we have power in New York is go up to the two commissioners, and we tell them with no uncertain terms, we write the prescription. This is what you have to do. If you refuse to do it, we're going to bring you before the 25 for indictment. And so they got 24 hours to make the contact to the 150 elected committee men here in the state of New York to give them the power and the authority, and they become the new Republican and Democratic parties. And we've already set up a system there to bring back order in the political process. And they get to decide who's going to become, get onto the tickets. And no longer these two private associations that have done nothing but deceive and defraud the people of New York. So that's one way to do it. No matter what the crime is, no matter what whatever the government is not doing and should be doing, we're going to make them do, because that's a wrongdoing. It's that simple. All the problems we have is because people are in office breaking laws, and if we stop them from breaking laws, then we will bring our government back. It's that simple. So anything you could think of, you know, when you go down to the town hall and you talk to these people and you question them about something, their backs get up there and their hair stands up and they treat you like a piece of crap. Or you go down to the city hall to get into a meeting and you expose some problems down there and they treat you like a piece of crap and they have no respect for you. Well, that'll never happen again. Never. Because all you have to do is call the grand jury, and we'll come down to the next meeting, and we'll just sit there and listen and watch. And at the end of that, we will call all these people right onto the in front of us, and we will deal with them, and they will learn to deal and treat people with respect, or they'll be looking for another job. And unions are irrelevant to us. We don't care about unions. If we want them gone, we will make them gone.
Listen, so, John, you got 4 or 5 hands.
Yeah, that's how you do it. Okay, well, Joe's open if Joe wants to talk.
Yeah, Joseph's been up for a long time. So Joe is next if he's out there still.
Yeah, Joe. And Kathleen, your mic is open. Joe doesn't seem to be talking, so Kathleen, you're on the phone. Go right ahead.
Okay, I just wanted to explain some mechanical things about webinar.
Yes. Oh, great. Yeah.
Okay. On the right-hand side of your desktop, the person who has logged in, there's a little, it's called a dashboard.
Right.
And it's closed unless you open it. It's There's a little orange arrow that points to the left. If you click that, it opens, and it will give you a list of everybody who's in the room.
Right. We got that, yes.
And it gives controls, but some people don't know that they're there. There's a mic that you can mute yourself by clicking.
Okay.
There's a blue form that that just opens up the window that you have on your screen, John.
Okay.
And then there's a hand that you click to raise, and it's green.
Okay.
If you click it, it turns red to click it back down. So okay. I just put mine down, and now I'm, I take my hand down.
Gotcha.
So that's how the participant can control what's going on.
Do you know how it works on the phones, what they do to get them to mute, unmute, or raise their hand on the phones?
You can't raise your hand on the phone. You can type in on that board. You can type in your question, and then that's what Gerard has been reading.
Yeah, but we can give pins so that it will enable their muting. For instance, I'm doing that to a couple people right now that I see.
Yeah, they can unmute and mute themselves, and I think there is a way for them to raise their hand. There's a star or something, 6 or 4. Matter of fact, just try it. Hit star 4 to see what it says.
I'm on here.
You know, if you're on a phone, hit the...
All right, I'm giving people their phones that are muted, I'm giving them their pins. Hopefully they'll respond to that if they want to talk.
Right, they got to put their pin.
There's three of them that were muted, maybe more. Any down on the bottom that are muted? I guess not. All right.
And that just turns your phone off and on, but that's the only option it gave in terms of a help.
Okay.
Yeah, I couldn't find it. I know there's
so I don't
stuff with
one, but that's the controls for webinar, and that's all I wanted to just let you know that. Okay.
Okay. All right. Appreciate it.
Welcome.
Yeah, Carl. By the way, you're hey, muted. So.
Okay. Good. Good. Can
we
I
appreciate.
In
thank you very much.
Welcome.
So if I may say something about the why, like what is it, Montana and other states are getting away from the grand jury and not having to indict is because of the 14th Amendment. And there's a very telling court case. It's Hurtado versus California, 1884. The 14th Amendment was ratified, I think, 1878, somewhere around there. So in this Supreme Court decision, the first syllabus, it's very short, the words due process of law in the 14th Amendment of the Constitution of the United States do not necessarily require an indictment by a grand jury and a prosecution by a state for murder. And it goes on to talk about the Constitution for California and how it authorizes prosecutions for felonies by information after examination, commitment by a magistrate, without indictment by a grand jury.
So they relied on the 14th Amendment for that.
Correct. If the Fifth Amendment also has a due process of law, except with the 14th Amendment, they're stepping on, again, this goes into the dual citizenship.
Right, and they're ignoring the Fifth Amendment, yes. That can be easily fixed by the people declaring themselves we the people, as in the preamble that ordained and established this Constitution for them. So once you take that into position, they got to back off. But we're going to help them. We will help them in Montana. Now, that's in Montana, a call?
Well, this court case was versus California. It was Hurtado versus California. But from the conversation last week, she was saying that they don't have grand juries. So I guess the prosecution does his own indictments.
Well,
yeah, he does it information. It's an information or an indictment.
Yeah, that's a Fifth Amendment violation, and we're going to fix that anyway. We will work across this country. New York will be there for any other state and so on. But go ahead, Paul.
I'm just saying it's a word game, unfortunately. I spent a lot of time last night because I'm trying to understand the 14th Amendment better. And the Supreme Court cases are – Well, even New York versus Susan B. Anthony. She was in New York at the time in 1870. She wasn't allowed to vote because she was a woman. And, well, she voted anyway because she thought, well, she's a United States citizen, right? Well, the court, a circuit of appeals court, said, yeah, you know what? New York says you're not allowed to vote, and that's correct. You're a New York citizen. So you have to pay a $100 fine and take court fees. That case was never gone up to the Supreme Court. They didn't take it. And there's other cases, the slaughterhouse cases, that confirm that there are two citizenships.
Right.
So that's really what you're dealing with. You got to understand where your jurisdiction is. It's a learning process. The Supreme Court judges know this. It's a game, I think. I don't know what else to say. Mm-hmm. But
yeah, that's fiction versus reality. Hey, anybody else? I said Brian there.
I just have a quick question.
There's two jurisdictions, and
what happened?
Hello?
Gerard, we lost you. Yeah, hang on a second. Is that Brian?
Yeah.
Go ahead, Brian. Yeah. I was going to say something, and I stepped on him. That's
okay.
All.
Okay.
Go ahead, Brian.
Well, a couple things I was interested in. We had trouble in Butler, PA, of getting the, getting a place to vote. They told us we could have it, and they told us they didn't.
Right.
What troubles can we anticipate once we have filed to get actually a grand jury room? I mean, they're not going to roll over and give it to us.
Well,
they
really don't have a choice. The question is who's going to prevent you from having it? All the people that are moaning right now, the lawyers, the town attorneys, the county attorneys, the clerks, all those people that are moaning and groaning, so far it's not the judge. None of them can do anything. When you file your papers, not one of those persons have anything to say or anything about your papers, and the clerk must file them. So now that the papers are filed and you make the phone call to get access into the room, what are they going to say to you? No? Okay. So let's say they do say no to you. By what authority? Who is stopping the process and the work of the people? Who is stopping that? You need a name. You need to know who. And the only person that could do that or would try to even attempt to do that would be the judge. Okay? So that's the person we have to deal with. Now, that's why we say, file five or more at a time. Once your first five is filed in the state, then everyone else behind you, as they get elected, should file. We're doing about 15 to 17 to maybe 20 this week, okay? We're not sure of the numbers yet, but we're going to do a whole bunch of them all in one time. And so some of us, many of us, I think, will get through, and I'm sure there's going to be places where we'll have a problem. Well, you see, we're one grand jury, really. We just have 62 locations. We're planning on 62 locations because we want a location in every county because there's a court in every county. But ultimately, from Dutchess County, if Orange County has a problem and Dutchess County doesn't, we're going to go down and we're going to call this Orange County judge before us and find out just who does he think he is. He's a hired servant here, and you think you can tell the boss that they can't come in and use their facilities? Well, what are you doing? What are you talking about here? You see, he doesn't have no authority. By what authority do you think you operate from? And he has three choices before he leaves that room, okay? He can go along with us, okay? He could decide to resign and let someone else deal with it. Or he can be indicted, and the choice is his. And when he leaves the room, if he doesn't give an answer, we're going to presume he wants to be indicted. And that's what we'll tell him. And so when he leaves that room, he's going to leave. I don't believe he's going to want to be indicted. I think he's now going to go back and allow the process to go through, because that's what we're going to tell him to do. And they're going to get a seat in that room, and then they're going to call the judge down, and we from Dutchess County will go up and help Orange County and sit on the board with him and make sure this judge understands that he's to obey the people, and the people have already spoken. They have ordained in the Constitution for the United States of America that this is to be a common law country. All courts and courts of law are common law. This is a common law court. This is a court of law. It now must be common law. Common law is not statutory law. It's not nisi prius. It's statutes are irrelevant. Statutes only apply to to elected individuals, to bureaucrats, to municipalities, to the judges, to agents. That's what it applies to. It doesn't apply to the people. And so now he's going to run a court that's common law. And we'll know because we're there.
So if this were Butler, for example, and we were having trouble getting our court and they were giving us a problem, we would have to rely on some other county to come in and
that's why we work in partnership. That's why I keep saying to people, united we stand, divided we fall. You cannot do this by yourself. You must work together because one county will push the other county in. It will work that way. And if a state goes rogue completely like Montana or Washington, we have two so far, then we from New York, we will come to the rescue of Montana. And I'm sure so will other states like New Jersey or Texas or California or anybody else. We will all come to the aid of Washington, the state of Washington, and the state of Montana. And we will indict from all over the country, and we will force and put the pressure upon these judges like they've never seen before. The people will speak. But only if we work together. United we stand, divided we fall.
And for, as far as enforcement, then, we would be looking at the county sheriff to enforce.
No, enforcement, well, enforcement is very simple. The enforcement, you want to handle it, Gerard?
No, I was, go ahead. I was thinking of something else.
Enforcement is very, very simple. You see, first of all, you get a seat, and that gives you authority. Once you get into the room, you have authority. Now they've accepted you. Like you or not, they've accepted you because they don't have a choice. Now, when you say enforcement, well, let's say you want to do a presentment. Presentment is a indictment.
Wait a second. Let me cut you off here for a minute. But I'm still talking about if we in our county don't get a seat.
Right. The judge doesn't cooperate. The judge doesn't cooperate.
Who enforces it for Butler?
The other county.
We don't have a seat.
Because look at, if I'm in Dutchess County. And Orange County has the problem, and we got in Orange County, and they have a judge in we got in Dutchess County, and we have a judge in Orange County that won't let them come in. Then we pull them here, and we bring them on our carpet, and we tell him what he's got to do. And if he refuses to do it, then we indict him. Therefore, he's removed from office. Now they're going to have to appoint a temporary judge while they wait for another election. And then he, you know, that judge has just been moved out of the way. And the process goes through, and that's that. They then get into the seat. They take their seat.
So in a worst-case scenario here, if Pennsylvania, if all of the counties in Pennsylvania have the same problem,
then you're going to have to depend on other states around you to come to your rescue.
Okay.
But well, you realize this will be so big, the U.S. Supreme Court will get involved with this. Scalia is still up there. This is his.
Listen,
baby.
If you send, first of all, you're going to call the judge in. You're going to talk to him, right? That's what's going to happen first. You're going to make nice with him, right?
First, they got to get the seat, though. They got to get in there to talk to him.
Well, yeah, you got to talk. Hello, we're the new grand jury, right?
But you can't do that until you get into the jury room. You have to get the keys to the jury room, and you got to get the mailbox, and you got to have your first meeting, and then you call the judge up or down to the jury room. And what he's talking about is, what if they don't give you access to the jury room? We got to get access to the jury room. That's your authority. You see, a lot of people will say, oh, you're going to get arrested in this. Well, you know, if they do it wrong, yeah, you can have a problem. I don't know about being arrested, but you're going to have a problem. But once you got the seat, who's going to come out and arrest the grand jury that's sitting in a courthouse? You've got the authority. It's there. It's obvious. It's done. You see? But, yeah, that's what you got to do. You got to get help from the county next door.
Okay, that's all. Thanks, guys.
You're welcome. You know, it's not going to be a cakewalk. We're going to have some resistance here or there, and we will deal with it together. But this is the only way it is. We're at war. That's how I look at it. And I'd much rather be fighting this war than the war that's heading our way, because they're coming to get our guns, and I know I'm not giving mine up. So I don't want to be at that position, and I know nobody wants to be in that position. But that's where they're heading for, and that's why we need to be moving quickly now, so we can just correct all this stuff before it gets that bad. All right, anyway, who else? Arthur. Let me undo Arthur there. Go right ahead. And by the way, Arthur, you're on the phone. How did you raise your hand? Did you hit star 6 or something like that? Arthur's not talking. He doesn't want to talk to me.
He knows how to raise his hand, at least.
Well, let me get Harold. Harold, go right ahead. We'll leave Arthur open if he wants to talk. Harold, how you doing from Long Island out there? Good to see you.
Yeah, hi. How you doing, John?
Good.
Hope everything is okay. I was listening for most part of it, but the rest of it, earlier talks, I've already went through it already. I looked at the website. I saw that you did the declaration was changed. We talked about once. And then the I see that it appears that the letter to the chief clerk of the U.S. New York State Supreme Court was also changed.
Right.
On its service, by service to him.
Right. Yeah, and I know you were thinking of doing FedEx, and that works too. I think you were doing FedEx, right? Yeah, that works as good.
Yeah, it could be, as you said, John, it could be U.S. Mail, it could be certified mail return receipt, it could be FedEx, it could be UPS.
Right, whatever people want to do. Yeah, I think the cheapest is a certified return slip. But go ahead.
The only thing I'm bringing up is that I sent you something I made up that is easy to respond as a citizen to be a... to filing an affidavit of service.
Right.
So I changed it around. If you're saying you're doing it by service, you need an affidavit of service. I'm personally going to do is going to use what I sent you.
Right.
I'm going to be the process server for Nassau County, and Nassau County, an individual from there, from that grand jury, is going to be a process server for me. In other words, we basically going to put it in FedEx envelopes, and I'll give it to them. And they send it out for me, and then they sign an affidavit of service.
Correct. Yeah, we do that already in the court cases, so same thing. And so what you drew up is nice. That works. And we have a simple one also, we'll probably post that up there too. I'm thinking about that. You see, we have honor. We're the grand jury. Just like a court doesn't have to go out and prove that they put it in the envelope, it doesn't really get to that point. But if you wanted to do it, you can do it. But the fact that we're putting it through a return slip, that in itself is proof. There's no way they can turn truth. Oh, what you said was in the envelope, you haven't proven. We're not going to court. So that doesn't even come to play anyway.
We're trying to do things more
but that is a backup. There's no doubt about it. And we'll add that up there.
Yeah, so it's an option for the new. Yes. Anything going from cracks on my end. After putting all the stuff into it,
Right.
And that's what I was thinking. All right, that's very good. Okay, I plan to follow both my Suffolk County and help Nassau County. They're coming over to my house. We're going to file both of us the same day on Wednesday.
Yeah, you're doing Wednesday. Okay, yeah, I think I'm going to try to do Wednesday too, but people throughout the state here in New York can file any time from Wednesday on. And I'm going to be calling around to the leaders that put this together and be talking to them maybe tomorrow, and we're going to go forward.
Yeah, I think everything will go fine. There's one judge I know will definitely support all this.
Right.
Well, that's what we hope for. We hope for a few good men like the Marines. We get a couple good judges, because we get in a couple courts, they're done. It's going to fall like dominoes, I think, anyway. I don't think, because they don't, like John says, if you can indict them, they have to step down until they figure that out. And it gets straightened out. And believe me, they don't do anything very fast, and we certainly know how to drag our feet because they taught us how. But anyway, I think that once we get a judge or two that go along with this, they're finished. They're not going to, because, you could actually work out of one courtroom in the whole state if you really wanted to. All the everybody could, because you serve in the state that you're in. It's a statewide thing, so they're not going to. They can run, but they can't hide. Is the long and the short of it?
Yeah, exactly. I'm looking forward to do this and get this done, and then take it from there.
All right, thank you, Harold. Anything else?
That's it. Thank you. Have a good night.
Okay. God bless you. We'll talk to you a little later anyway. All right.
Rick's hand's been up long.
Yeah, well, before we go, we do have Brian that is unmuted, and if he wants the mic, and we have Arthur Stopes, S-T-O-P-E-S. Go right ahead, Arthur. And
I don't know if you can hear me.
I can hear you. Who's talking?
Oh, really?
Yes, yeah. Really.
Who's that, Arthur?
Thank you.
What's your name?
I'm Arthur Stopes III.
Okay, go right ahead, Arthur.
Original.
Yes.
And I've been in some slight communication with Veronica Hanovig.
Well, before you go any further, let me ask you a very important question.
Yes.
How did you raise your hand and how did you put it down?
Probably by accident.
Well, what did you hit?
The cursor is on the hand with the green arrow. And I wasn't certain that was actuating.
Oh, okay. So you are on, you're doing this on the browser, but you're calling in on the telephone.
Yes.
Okay.
So I do have a question.
Yes.
I saw recently a film on the mountaintop removal in West Virginia, for instance, and I wondered, could a grand jury established in one of the affected counties that is affected by the pollution and so forth of Massey Coal Company, could they bring that corporation to into civility?
Well, let me ask you a question. Let me ask you a question. Is that a wrongdoing?
Absolutely.
Then you can fix it.
People are suffering. And then the larger aspect of my question is, if it's a that is, the grand juries are rooted in counties, are they? You just said that a grand jury could accommodate the entire state.
Correct. You only need any grand jury can operate in any place in the state. They can indict anybody anywhere in the state.
In that case,
what you have to realize is this, is that, you know, the grand jury, if you wanted to indict in another county, you'd have to go to that other county and probably go into that courthouse. But you already got a fellow grand jury there, so you just go sit on with them guys and do it.
That is my question, John. The pollution effects, in fact, affect the entire eastern seaboard of that type of operation, polluting the rivers.
Well, what state are you in, and what state?
Certainly many counties. So would it be necessary for a grand jury in each county to address the problem?
No. Anyone can do it. Let me ask you, what county are they in, the company, and what state are they in, and what state are you in?
I'll admit this is a hypothetical question. I'm from California.
Okay,
but I wondered about the general power of the grand jury in such a matter.
Yeah, I would say that if the company was in a particular county, then you would want to go to that county to indict. And let's say the company was in Orange County and I'm in Dutchess County. And we're aware of that problem. We start a little investigation because it's affecting us in Dutchess County and many other counties. And we come to a conclusion that we need to do something. So we then, the very first order of business is we would call that company up, let them know that the grand jury wants to come in and talk to the owners of those companies. And we'd go in and we'd let them know what the problem is, and we'd work out a prescription with them. And they would either comply, and if they didn't comply, we would say, well, okay, we're going to bring this before the 25. So we would then go to Orange County, and we'd call Orange County. Of course, we know the people in Orange County. They may even have come to that with us. And we'd say, hey, look, you know, we have a situation. We want to bring it before the grand jury because we have these people who are polluting and they won't comply. It's in your county, so we want to come down and bring it before the full grand jury. And so between us and them, we'll pull together the 25, and then those of us who did the investigation will lay out the problem before the grand jury. They will decide whether to go further with it, and if they go further with it, then we start bringing them summons and people to question them before the grand jury. We do a full investigation in the courthouse. And then we vote to decide on whether we're going to indict or not. And if we indict, then a jury, it goes through the process. And a jury eventually is pulled for the trial jury. And we will give them all the information and insight that they need from our perspective, mostly to the prosecutor, of course.
Listen, if that's a big, powerful company, which they probably are,
they're going to obey.
Well, no, here's the deal. They got a lot of money. A lot of lawyers are going to play games and stuff. But you can indict them. But the other thing is if they're it is criminal, but here's the thing. You could threaten them if they don't cooperate. You could say, listen, I'm going to get indictment in all the other counties that this affects. You could have every county that they're affecting indict them in their own counties. So now they have to defend themselves in all these different counties.
Well, you see, that would be that would be the very thing to do. If you've got six counties involved, then you would notify all five, all six, including yourself in Orange County. You'd notify the other four, and we'd all sit on the same grand jury in that county, and we'd all bring our stamps with us because we're going to have six seals on that indictment.
Right, and so what happens is you're not such a target anymore. They're going to have a hard time dealing with everybody, because even if they want to hire thugs to beat people up, they got to go to different counties, and you got a lot of people. You know what I mean?
All right.
So there's safety in numbers. You know, on a big company like that, I would think that you want to get as much support as you can, and probably bring more than one grand jury to bear. That's like the problems that they have. You know, where one county gets a grand jury going, and then they run up and they try to indict Holder.
I'd like to speak regarding the question I brought up.
Okay, go
ahead. And so you're touching upon part of the solution. So my question was, if it affects, for instance, all the counties in West Virginia, and I'm sure it would in many more, must a grand jury be situated in each of those counties?
No.
Well, you don't have to be, but they don't have to be. They can indict in that county, and they could all, like John said, they could all sit on the same grand jury, and then each county could stand up.
Let me give you a picture. Let me give you a picture of what's going on here.
Yes.
You see, let's take New York as the example, because we know New York. In New York, there's only one New York Supreme Court. Only one. Okay? It has 62 locations.
Yes.
One in each county. In New York, there is only one grand jury. But they're going to have 62 locations. We draw from the New York pool. You see, it's the same thing. Okay, it's just
25 from each county.
You only need 25 for the whole state. But of course, we want a great jury pool. Okay, in every county, we want to be able to draw upon them and draw not only grand jury pools, but we want to draw also the trial jury. And so we want to build that up. And that's going to be very easy to do, because ultimately, once we get in, we'll be paid for the administration of this, and we will be sending out letters to everybody, getting them to come into the grand jury, into the pools, and to become educated in the grand jury. We're gonna move on a campaign on this in every county. Each grand jury will be responsible
Thank
to
you.
Move on that campaign.
May I bring up another matter?
Sure.
With which I have been, in fact, personally involved. It's a national problem also, however. The Postal Service is, as you probably know, doing the great disservice of selling the post office properties. I have done some research in this, and I have a copy of the legal opinion of the later disgraced Attorney General John N. Mitchell, written in 1970, concerning the transfer of post office properties to the Postal Service then being formed. Well,
that originally belonged to the people, didn't it?
Yes, and here's the interesting thing, which I attempted to bring to the attention of a certain law firm that was contracted by some ill-informed people in Berkeley, where I'm speaking, and I found that it speaks, the Attorney General, John Mitchell, speaks of interagency transfers of property without deed to the Postal Service. How, I like to say, indeed, can they sell them if they don't have the deed? This is very, very serious. They're purporting to sell post offices with New Deal artworks. Berkeley's goes back to 1914. It's a fairly distinguished building, a crude model of something by Brunelleschi in Florence, but I don't tell people quite that.
Well, I agree. This is a major problem, and this is happening nationally.
Absolutely nationally. They are selling whole post offices. In fact, one of the efforts has been in Bronx. in the Bronx.
Well, we can stop that. You know, basically.
Please look into that, and we'll be.
Well, this is what's going to have to happen. Okay.
I can send you the basic information.
This is what's going to have to happen. We'd have to do this on a national level, I think, and we are organizing on a national level. I mean, we're the beginning of the organizing of that national level right here. And at some point, when we all become grand jurists, and most of the counties of the United States have become grand jurists, or just what we do is need a majority of them. Once we have the majority of them, then we can deal with that problem. And
I'm
what we would do is we would have to do that investigation maybe in a webinar like this, where we would have to have you and other people like you that have the evidence of this and that you can produce it before us across the country. And then, you know, we can indict from our own counties and we can write up a paper and have, 2,000 seals on it from 2,000 counties and indict that company. And, of course, the trial and the whole process, we'd have to figure out where that would have to take place.
Well, John, in this case, they're selling them rapid fire, and I tell the sheeple here at Berserkly that even if it is sold, it would be sold not lawfully, and therefore
that's right. We'll take it back.
Void ab initio. And
that's right.
Get it back.
Right.
We must get them back.
Absolutely, agree.
Very valuable New Deal artworks, especially.
Who's taking
in the
money?
Cities.
Who's taking the money?
Guess what? The de facto Congress, de facto technically since 1861,
mm-hmm.
is worse than you think, or worse than most people know.
Yeah.
The de facto Congress passed a bill, the so-called Postal Enhancement Act, of about 6 years ago. Yes, and they determined that the Postal Service must prepay the National Postal Services Pension Program, PPPP, 75 years in advance. And so they must raise, I think, $5.5 billion each year. And even the sale of these properties will not make it. They'll just mm-hmm. be a total loss to the people's inheritance, heritage. Mm-hmm.
Well, this is a very unique situation,
and
it just calls. Look at the people are the people. We could make it up as we go. That's what people have to understand. We're looking to satisfy justice, honor, and a sense of mercy. We have to satisfy those things, and whatever logic we come up with in order to satisfy that, that's the thing we need to do. And we could do this nationally. We do have other people. Who can probably come up with some real creative ideas on how to approach this, and we can get a special prosecutor for this. We have access to people who can be those kind of things.
We must reverse an act of Congress.
Absolutely. We have those people.
Pardon?
We do have those people who understand these things.
Okay, well, I have done considerable research on this. I'm no lightweight. I challenged the IRS successfully, okay?
Mm-hmm.
I have done the deepest research on this that I've ever heard about. No one's doing anything. And so I have the fundamental papers, and I have analyzed that 2.5-page letter of the Attorney General, later disgraced because of the Watergate affair. And I have analyzed that very carefully, and I see no lawful right for them to sell the pre-1970 properties whatsoever. They could perhaps sell those which are acquired, which, by the way, implies purchase, since 1970, but
well,
certainly
I mean,
not the historic ones with the valuable New Deal artworks and better architecture.
Let me ask you a question. Have you thrown your hat in with us, or are you going to throw your hat in with us to work with us together?
I would like to discuss that with you personally.
Okay, you can call me anytime. My number's on the
screen. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
And good
you know, I wouldn't do it tonight, though, because I'm going to be speaking.
No, I wouldn't.
Phone,
but, I won't.
But you can call me anytime, and we can talk, and maybe I'll pull a few other people into our conversation. Consider jumping in with us for the sole purpose of doing what has to be done,
excellent.
Just as all of us.
I'm writing an article which was invited by or suggested by Veronica Hanovig because the district attorney of Lackawanna County poo-poos the possibility of a grand jury and said they're practicing law without a license. Well, of course, that gives me license to write about what I know.
First of all, there's no such thing as a license to practice law.
I know. It's barratry.
They're a joke.
I'm going to say in conclusion that perhaps the grand jury should indict him for barratry.
Yeah, I hear you. Well, look, it, you know, we need to talk. We need to talk, and you need to continue building your case, and we'll ask you to try to produce this case before the grand jury and others, you know, that you may know to pull together. And this is a problem that we need to come to an understanding to, and so that we can indict if that's what needs to be done.
There's a huge portion of the American population that is greatly concerned about this in many communities all over.
Mm-hmm.
Just look around. Look it up. The website that you might want to see is Save the Post Office or something like that, or National Post Office Collaborate. Okay. However, they're not very collaborative with me.
All right, well, let's talk about this, you know, during the week. Give me a yell and get my number. Give me a call.
Goodbye. Okay. Good night.
Thank you. And hang out. We're going to go to the next individual now. Dominic, go right ahead. You got the mic. I see we got a lot of hands up, so we want to kind of move along a bit. But, Dominic.
I'll be real short here, John.
Okay.
Do I got you?
You got us. We got you.
Okay, great. What I do sometimes when I send in these so-called notary presented by the under notary seal, I'll tell you what I do that's pretty nifty. I go down to the post office and I get the green card receipts,
right?
Okay, with the number on them,
right?
Okay, and I make sure that number is on the letterhead.
Correct.
Okay, and this way, when I go down to the post office, it's very easy. The number's there. I just have the letter. The green card is automatically with the number on it. I put the seal.
That's a very good idea on the letter. Good. Go ahead.
And then what I do is in ink, okay, because sometimes lawyers are very tricky, and they'll take that number and they'll take it off and say, hey, look, the green card doesn't have that number on there.
Right.
So what I do on the green card, I write in ink, okay, underneath the stamp, so that when they go ahead and they pull that little sticker off, hey, guess what? My number is on the bottom of that sticker, and it's in ink, and there's no refuting it.
Yes, so good idea. I like the idea. That makes a lot of sense. You see, if you write the number on the letter inside the envelope and it gets sent out, they've got the evidence of the fact that everything is copacetic. That's right. We don't really have to prove this like a court of law does, but it is good to get that evidence, and, you know, to do it the way, you know, Harold is talking about it is good, and that's one way, but this is another way also. So I like it.
By the way, I also want to...
I'm going to do that forever now at this point anyway. I'm always going to do that.
Well, that's great. By the way, I just want to say thanks to Joe Patterson. Met him down in Palm Springs, and I don't know if he signed up with us or not, but I just want to welcome him aboard.
Okay.
All right.
Anything else, Dominic?
That's it, brother.
Okay, let me move on. And let's see, who's next? We'll go down, I guess, just to Jesse. And do you know who goes next here, Gerard? Okay, let me go to Jesse Baker. Go right ahead, Jesse. You got the mic.
Hello. Yeah, the question that I had is, how are we going to do the investigation? You know, say we do get into the grand jury room and
right. We
want to look into a case that we're not personally familiar with.
Right.
You know, what powers or what other entities are we going to have to be able to do the investigation?
Well, first of all, let's just look at the authority. You know, Scalia made it clear in his papers that we can investigate merely for the fact that we just want to make sure there's nothing going wrong in a particular office. So all we have to do is give them a call, make the appointment, let them know we're coming. They can't stop us. We've got total access to the computers, the books, the people. We can ask them anything. We don't have to tell them what we're investigating, who we're investigating, and we do whatever we want. Now, this is where it does get a little tricky. You know, we have to have people. You know, you have to get some people that have got to rise to the top and that has a little knowledge about law, particularly common law, but law and process and different things. And we'll all work that out as time goes. We'll figure it out. when there's something wrong in coming out of a particular office, or you get a complaint from somebody about a particular office, it shouldn't be hard to uncover the wrongdoing. You really don't have to know law. All you have to know is something's wrong and what they're doing is wrong. And you look into it and you'll discover and be able to write a prescription, and they have to obey. It gets that simple. But remember, the people who would do it, there's four people that are paid positions in every county, okay? There'll be two foremen and two secretaries. And those four people will work every single day. They'll work 40 hours a week. Most of that work, I'm sure, they'll be doing from their homes. It'll be a lot of administrative work, you know, letter writing, phone calls and receiving phone calls. And it'll be a lot of activities. But we also will plan on investigating different areas. We get that from leads, or we get that from ourselves, from our own knowledge. I've been involved with so many things. I know a lot of places I need to go. And everybody has their own pet peeve, so to speak. They know where things are going wrong. But in any event, those four people will plan, okay, on Tuesday at 1 o'clock, we're going to head over to this particular office, government office, because there's a problem. So we make the appointment, and that day we'll either drive over together, or we meet along the road, or we'll meet there or whatever, but we're all going to go down. Now, we let the word out to other people who want to be active, okay, because there are some people that can't work at full time but want to be informed on things, and if they're available, they'll come. So we'll kind of send that out, that email list, to say, hey, we'll go ahead and over here. Anybody who wants to join us, you're welcome. And then we go into the office and we investigate, okay? The past has shown us, you know, just through the way things have operated, it's about four people that should go and investigate. And those four people have the authority and the power to make an arrangement, to make a deal, and to, you know, really negotiate a solution to the problem. And if they can't, then they bring it to the 25, they being four of the 25, they bring it to the other 21. And they produce the case before them, and then they start the full-blown investigation if they agree with the four. And then you go forward on that from that point. And that's how it kind of works. But generally speaking, I think we're going to do very little indictments. I think we're going to do very little presentments. And I think we're going to do a lot of fixing. I think we're going to do a lot of negotiating, and we're going to create contracts, prescriptions, and they're going to obey it, and we will file it. And if they break the contract, then it's just an automatic bringing them in to really get hardcore with them. And that could mean a few things. It could mean that people are going to lose their jobs. And we can do all these things without throwing them into trial unless there's a reason why we can't. I can't think of many. But we just need to fix it. And you go up the line. You know, when you have a problem in an office and you're making a prescription, you're going to want to make the phone call maybe from that office to the commissioner in charge of that office, because I think every office, public office must have a commissioner in charge of it. And that commissioner was appointed. So we need to call the commissioner, and we need to call the person who appointed them, which would be an elected official. And we'd give them a call and say, hey, you need to come down here because we got a problem and we're trying to work it out, and you better be here because there may be some firing that needs to be done. So that's how you do it, you know. And you just use your logic and work it out, because we could do anything we want with the people.
So then the grand jury is the ones that actually do the investigation. They don't hire like a private attorney
or a private investigator. No. If they feel that they need to do that, they could. But generally speaking, they go in and they deal with the problem themselves. And look, these are criminal activities when they're breaking the law. But it doesn't mean we have to send them to court, to a trial, and to go to jail. We don't want to put anyone in jail, really. We want people to pay restitution. We want them to fix the people they're injuring. We want to fix the problem. And if the problem is just maybe there's no real injured person, but they're just breaking the law, well, they got to fix it. Maybe we'll require people to be fired. You know, unions don't have anything to do with us. We don't care about a union. Matter of fact, we should get rid of all the – they shouldn't even have a union.
Yeah, public officials shouldn't have a
– Nobody working for the government.
I agree with that.
A union. Not at all. It shouldn't play any role. It's nothing but corruption. We can get rid of all that. All we have to do is just make – look, they're going to get less money, actually, because, you know, they get way too much money and they get way too many deals. Whatever their job description fits for their neighborhood and their area, that's what they should get paid. And that means a lot of you know, reductions in salaries. They're going to love us.
So. Just a quick comment to make with the guy that was saying about the post offices being sold. Well, I when I was originally looking to set up the meeting room for Lancaster County, I was talking to the public libraries. And here now the public libraries have been sold off, so they're not truly – they're 501c3s, and they're I think they said they're – owned by a board of administrators, so they're not truly just public any longer. So they sold off those assets. I was when I started posting in the different borough buildings. There was one borough building that I went in. They said that they were selling 500 plus acres of public land, and they were going to auction it off to a private bidder. Then where's that money going to go?
Right. Well, exactly. You know, and they also sold the armories off. We need them back too. You know, we have a lot of fixing to do, and I don't know, some of the solutions may be a problem trying to deal with it, but you know what, when we discover them, we have to sit down, that's our job, we got to become problem solvers, and believe me, there are a lot of problem solvers amongst us, they will surface to lead the rest of the group to different kind of ideas and unique ways of doing things, but at the bottom line, at the end of the day, we have to realize the people who purchase these things, they're being injured too. You know, this is a problem.
Sold property that.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly.
Being sold property they shouldn't be able to have.
That's true. So we have to figure a way to deal with this that is, again, honorable and just, and we have to be merciful where mercy is needed, and we have to figure ways to fix the people who are going to be injured by this correction, and however that's going to work. But I'll tell you what, it's got to be done.
Well, I really thank you for your site because it's like a civics museum where you can go and educate yourself, you know, try to catch up, to get where you should be, to be able to be a fighting force for what we need to do. So I do appreciate that.
And I appreciate you and all the other people out there working together to do what we have to do, you know. So, okay, let me go on. Let me go to Mike Fisher. He's been on there for a while. Go ahead, Mike. You've got the mic.
Can you hear me?
I can hear you. Is that you, Mike?
Yeah.
Okay, go right ahead. Is this Mike from out in Long Island?
No, this is from Ohio.
Oh, okay. I know there's a Fisher out in Long Island, but go ahead.
Could you explain getting the keys to the grand jury room again?
Sure. Yeah, once you file the papers, which is a declaration, you file them with the county clerk. It becomes a public notice. And you file them with the court clerk, which is letting them know that you're there. And we write a letter. We're going to rewrite the letter because we have a little better knowledge now. And the letter is going to go to the court clerk, and we're going to ask them to get a hold of the custodian that would be in charge of the grand jury room, so we can get access, and that we would call on a Wednesday next week, Tuesday, whatever it is. To get that person's name, to make contact with them so that we can come down and get access. Now, once you get access into the grand jury room, that's the biggest hurdle right there. If anyone's going to get in your way, they're going to get in your way then. And
go ahead.
So once you get through that process, you then go down to the mail room and you find out what box you can use for the grand jury. And you use that address if there's a number attached to that, or you just put grand jury room on the address or whatever it is. And now you got a mailing address, which is the courthouse. You're sitting in the courthouse, and that's where you're going to have to deal from within the courthouse. Now, a lot of your work's going to be done out of the courthouse, but whenever you do official work, like questioning people before the grand jury, that has to be done there. That's the main form of business. If you want to meet with someone in an official way, you meet them in the grand jury room. So when you meet with the judge or you meet with the sheriff or you meet with the prosecutor, you meet them in the grand jury room. And that's all that makes it official. and makes it legal, and everybody's going to respect the fact that you're there, whether they like it or not.
So once we have everything established, we have our grand jury, all the statutes, like statutes of limitations, would that be?
Well, we have to go to common law. Common law is not written law. Common law is made up from maxims. It's made up from principles that are brought forth. Common law is what needs to return to the court. I don't know if you're familiar with a court of record and how that works. And the law is established. You can use all of the principles of the Supreme Court, the U.S. Supreme Court, that are not repugnant to the Constitution. The Constitution is a common law document. Of course, you're going to use that. You're going to use the Declaration of Independence and the Bill of Rights and the Magna Carta. The Magna Carta, paragraph 61, defines the grand jury, the powers and the authority and the duty. And as a matter of fact, when you read Scalia's paper, you discover, wow, he got a lot of stuff from the Magna Carta. You know? So...
What about all the old cases that have been tried in the old system?
Yeah, that's a real serious problem, okay? First of all, there are a lot of people in the county jails that need to be let loose, and they need to be let loose immediately because, first of all, they're in there by fraud, okay?
Yeah.
And you'll have to ask for a list of all of the people that are, you want to get a list of all the people that are doing time in the county jail right now, and you want it in categories. And we might look at gun possession. And generally, if it's just the fact that they were arrested and jailed because they had a gun without a license, these people got to get them out of there. Okay, that was unjust. It was a fraud. It was done in the town courts, the Nisi Prius courts. Most of the people in county jail were put in there by the Nisi Prius courts, which is the municipal courts, and they're no court at all. The other thing is you have people in jail maybe for possession, marijuana or something. You have people in jail for driving without a license or something. These people don't belong in jail. This is ridiculous. They got to get out of there. So the grand jury is going to have a big job to figure out. Now, everyone that's in there for a real reason, a good reason, that kind of becomes a problem too, and I think we've got to pray about that and figure out how we're going to handle that. And that may be something you might want to handle a little later, because this is going to be hard to chew for people who don't understand the way the process should have been. So we're going to have to figure that out. You can't let people out that are guilty of murder, even though the fact of the matter is the whole system was a fraud to begin with. The judge doesn't get to decide how long a person goes to jail for. The judge doesn't get to decide anything. Our system is not set up with a judge. It's set up for a tribunal. And what they have that the administrator of the court is called a justice. And justice is synonymous with virtue. He's supposed to reflect the will of the king and honor and justice. And he's supposed to be doing the right thing. But he's just the administrator of the court. It is the trial jury that gets to decide whether they're innocent or guilty. They get to decide both facts and law. They get to decide on what the consequences of that crime was, whether it is, in a violent situation, of course, whether it is jail or not. We also have to revisit our jails and get something, done that really people can be, brought back into society at some time later. Because right now we breed anger and hate and everything else in our jails. I don't know the solution to those things. But they certainly are problems that we, the people, the owners of this country, need to be thinking about. And maybe we need to be talking about this on a national basis. And maybe we can come to solutions that are sensible and achievable. And some may go, some people in some state may go one way and another. It is what it is. I don't know how to answer all these problems, but we do have problems.
There's a lot of people who can't afford even just to go to court. They're given huge fines, and they can't pay them.
Right.
So
right. And who are these people given fines, and where are the fine money's going to? It's going to benefit their retirement plans. And, they take these people, They, you know, and if there is a real crime, let's say there is a real crime, they take the injured party, they bring them in to use them as a witness, and when they're done, they throw them back out in the streets. And if they get a big fat fine or something, or they've confiscated money off this individual or something, that person gets nothing, and the state takes it all. Who the hell are these people? Where do they come? Yeah. They don't come. Do they come from planet Earth? Are they born of human beings, female, you know, mothers? I mean, who are these people? You know, look, we're going to stop all that because the state gets nothing. The state is not an injured party. They're not in to make money. This isn't a money-making machine. This is the people's business. And so if things are confiscated and there is an injured party, that injured party has to be restored because the first principle of common law, for every injury, there must be a remedy. Not that there should be or could be or like to be. No, there must be a remedy. That's justice. And so we got to figure that out every case, one case at a time, and we have to figure it out. And again, most cases don't have to go to trial because you're going to get people who will confess when they realize, A, they don't have to go to jail, B, they just got to fess up and pay restitution, and they could do that being free, and so on and so forth. Of course, if we have someone that becomes a flight risk and we have to recapture them again, we can stick a ring on them and watch their moves. You know, we don't have to put them in jail. Why do we got to go through that process? You know, jails take people that maybe have problems or fell into bad things, and they create angry people that actually eventually become criminals by going to jail. You know?
There needs to be a common sense answer to all of this.
Exactly. You know, we just got to figure it out. That's all, and be honorable, and each group in their own private, you know, jury rooms as they try to figure this out and come up to a solution and hammer it out. Look, if you put on top of this, and I say this over and over again because we have to say it, and when people get together, they have to say it. We have to do this with honor. We have to do it with justice, and we have to do it with mercy. And if that is the forefront of our minds as we discuss the problems and the solutions, when we come to a solution and we go home and go to bed that night and wake up the next morning, then you know what? We've done our job if we didn't have problems going to sleep. Then we've done the best we can do, and we're good.
You said That's before it. That all courts should have the common law way to do things like a civil court.
Yeah, everything
and
must
we have,
be common
also
law.
Have
even the civil court.
Juvenile court.
Oh, that's a mess. Okay, that's a mess. We're going to be talking about that in specific on how we're going to deal with that. I mean, we're going to offer some things, and then people will build off that. You know, again, we are free people in 50 states, in 3,141 counties. All sitting in different rooms trying to figure the problems out. And we're not going to be all on exactly on the same page, and this one's going to do it this way and that one's going to do it that way. But I'll tell you what, I think everyone agrees with me that knows anything about courts, but the biggest problems, the biggest court problems are the family court problems. They are evil people, destructors and destroyers of families. They destroy children's lives. They don't care about nothing. It's all about money. And that whole system needs to be revamped. The people
Plus
cannot
the
live with
services for children.
They all got to go. That whole thing has to be revamped, and the grand jury has to really look at this and try to figure out what needs to be done. And they need to go up and speak with the legislators and require that the legislators do something that is honorable and just. And you know what? It needs to be whatever family court is there definitely needs to be overseen by the grand jury. They must oversee everything that they do. And they got to get rid of lawyers. No lawyers, no attorneys, anybody that's got that. That's one place. If they belong to the Bar Association, don't even walk in the door because that's the last people we need to see. We're talking about families. We're not talking about people who need freaking lawyers. And you got to get a child a lawyer, and everybody's fighting for this. No, we're trying to get them together. We're trying to work out the problems. And if mom and dad can't get back together, well, they got to share the child, and they got to understand what their jobs are. And if we have to, we'll have to oversee to make sure that they treat those children properly. You know, we have to figure it out somehow.
Yeah,
I don't know the
like
complete.
That. There's a case like that here locally. The parents abused the children, the court gave the children to a foster parent, and there were relatives of these people who wanted the children themselves, like a grandparent or something like that.
Right.
Like that.
Yeah, I was stuck in a situation where I was trying to get my sister's children, and this was some years back, and they gave them away to strangers. I have no clue where these children are at. Because these people are ugly people. They're evil. They have no respect for the family. It's all about money. They've lost touch with humanity. And they're sick, sick people. I want to tell you, when I went into family court, I wanted to puke. I just wanted to puke. Okay? Exactly. It was so serious. These lawyers, I wanted to hit them.
Yeah.
And I'm a Christian. I wanted to hit them.
One more thing. One more thing before I leave. I've expressed our approach people about our National Liberty Alliance, and I've been met with indifference.
Uh-huh.
People not even care. And what I had to wind up doing is put an ad in the paper for organizers.
Uh-huh. Well, if you go to the have you been to the local liberty meetings, you know, tea parties. And we're not talking to ones that are politically connected, to people that are still grassroots. You know, Ron Paul groups, the 912 groups, Glenn Beck groups, the Oath Keepers groups. That's where you'll find people.
Yeah.
And what we're all looking for is four really strong people who will step up, take the job on, and become educated and have the ability to take a new job to give the 40 hours a week. Those are the four people we're looking for. And once a county finds those four people, we're locked in, because everyone else falls into the pool, okay? People will be pulled out of a pool. And some people will want to come a lot, but they can't make it full-time, but they'd like to come often. And some people will just want to come once a year or once every couple of years. Whatever it is, we'll oblige them. Okay, but we need to create a large jury pool for both the trial jury and the grand jury, but we need to have four constant, focused, full-time individuals who would be paid for their service, but are dedicated from the standpoint of becoming educated in the process and in common law, and to be able to train people and orient people that are coming into the system to sit on a trial jury. You know, there'll be a four-hour orientation time when people come in, and each jurist has to go through that orientation. Once they go through it once, they won't have to go through it again when they get called back a second time. Maybe just a quick refresher sit with them for a half hour or so, discuss things, and make sure that they're still on the mark.
Okay. John, thanks for talking to me.
Hey, thanks for calling and talking and being with our group here. And, you know, let's get as many as we can involved. So.
Yeah, I'm going to keep plugging.
Okay. Okay, let's see who's next. We've got Ricky. Go right ahead. I'll just go down the line. Ricky Bradham, B-R-A-D-D-A-M.
That's good.
How you doing? Go right ahead. You got the mic.
Okay.
Ricky, I heard you. Can you go right ahead? Just speak into your mic. You got a question, a comment, or anything?
Okay.
You start, but you fall away. Come closer to your mic.
Okay. Let me get my little control panel up here.
You're too far. You start off, and then you fall away from the mic. So you got to put the mic up to your mouth.
Okay. I'm going to see what my mic's going on.
You there, Rick? Go ahead, Ricky.
Can I hear you?
I can hear you. Go right ahead.
Okay, I've got two more speakers now. Oh. That's what's happening. Okay.
Yeah, I'm having trouble understanding you. Stay close to the mic and talk. Try it again.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm not getting you, Rick. You're gobbled up. I mean, I can kind of hear you. You're coming loud and low, but you're gobbled up. I don't know. What kind of mic do you have? Do you have a mic you hold or what?
It's a headset with a mic.
Okay. Yeah, you need a new headset because I'm not getting you. I'm just getting the first words, and then you fall away.
Okay.
Yeah, we're not getting you. Gerard, are you understanding? Gerard, are you understanding? All right, Ricky, let me ask you to I can't understand what you're saying. Try putting your question into the text chat and we'll try to respond there. Gerard, are you still here? Gerard, what are you doing with no mic? Did you leave the room or something? Gerard, go right ahead.
I had a power failure. You got to put me back in. I've been trying to get in for, 20 minutes now.
Okay.
You got to pay attention.
Okay, well, I got a phone here, you know. Okay, did you understand what Ricky was saying?
Box, man.
Huh?
I couldn't hear anything. He has a problem with modulation. You get the first two words and then it garbles. It.
Yeah. Are you back in control here?
I think so.
All right. Keep an eye on Ricky. Maybe Ricky can put his question into the text and we can read it. So tell him to, Ricky, just put your question into the text box and we'll read it and we'll respond. Rick Harmon, go right ahead.
Okay, can you hear me okay?
Oh, you're coming in crystal.
Yeah.
Excellent. What I was wanting to talk about is, we seem to be putting the cart in front of the horse here tonight, but we can't do anything until we actually get people into the grand juries. And I'm needing some suggestions or something on how to attract people and get this thing rolling, because until I've got enough people to actually make a grand jury, I can't do any of what we've talked about tonight.
Well, all you need is one. What state are you in?
I'm in Missouri.
Okay, so all you need is one person in a county to establish the grand jury. You can get the election done. When you get all the paperwork together, you can kind of sit on the paperwork till you're comfortable to hand it in. But the key thing is getting the job done of the election. You can wait a month or two or three before you file it. That's okay. But get the election. And then you work with other counties. Now, it's 25 collectively around the state. So that's the key thing. But once we start filing, we're going to get a lot of attention from many different areas. And we're going to have large groups that are going to start moving into this system very quickly. We're trying to organize and get the grand juries in place and get somebody sort of at the helm so that they can control this thing and people don't pile into us and try to start, fixing problems with indictments all over the place and not understanding what we're doing. We have to stick with the principles. If we lose the principles, we're going to lose everything we're trying to gain.
Exactly, but I just looked on Missouri, and there's 8 people who have signed up, and 2 of them are, it's just garbage. Somebody just put in random letters.
Okay, yeah, we got to get in there to fix some of that, but we do have probably a few others that haven't chosen to show themselves who they are as far as the, to be a...
Right.
But organized. They didn't want their name and number up there, I guess. But even those people, you'll be able to get them to help you to some degree, especially for the election. But again, you need to grow. All it takes is one person to start this thing in one county and get 2 or 3 people in their counties, find people in the county next door, someone to spearhead to make sure you get a leader in every county. Each leader can find 2 or 3 people, and that's how you get the estate done. And so this is what we have to do. Well, this is what you have to do. If you go out to the page, the county page, county leader page, and you go down towards the bottom, we give some ideas. One of the big things is you go to meetup.com and you go to Google and put, what zip codes are in certain counties in your state. So maybe you have to put a town in that's in a county and get the zip codes within a town, within a county. Get one. And then you go to meetup.com, you put that zip code in there, and you look for tea parties. You look for Ron Paul groups. You look for 912s, Glenn Beck, Freedom groups of all kinds, the Freedom Force, Oath Keepers, all those keywords with those zip codes, and you'll find all kinds of people in every county. You do that in every county, and you will find the groups. You go, you get on, that's through the meetup groups. You go to those pages, and you right-click on their name, and you send the, on the organizers' names, and you send an email to them and ask them to give you a call. You tell them you've got a very interesting program you discovered. You'd like to talk to them about it. Please give me a call. Here's my phone number. And you'll find two or three or four organizers in every group. Send that to each organizer. One of them will call you back. Get them out to our webpage. Have them watch the video. Read the front page and watch the video, Power the Grand Jury. And I assure you they'll probably come on board. And then the rest is history for that county. Any leader of those kind of groups can easily get four strong people who will step right up and do something, okay? And if you have three or four groups, definitely be a lot easier. You will get people who will step up to take these positions, and you'll find at least one real strong person to lead that county. Then you do the same thing in another county and another county and another county. That's how we build the state. That's how I built the state.
Okay.
So
I'm considering being that strong person in my county. But,
there you go. And try to be that. Maybe
just need to get it going.
Well, jump into the water. Don't stick your toe in the water. Jump right in. If you all you got to do tomorrow morning, call a library, set a date for, 7 days away or so. Confirm it in 2 days. Call up the newspapers, post the listings. Then make some phone calls, family, friends, and to the other groups, the liberty groups in your county. Even if only three people show up, that's fine. You've done the best you could. And you go and you have the process done according to how we lay it out. And you do all the paperwork and you file it in your drawer, in your office, on your desk, whatever, and until you're ready, to file it with the county and the court. Work with your sister counties. Get more counties going. That's how you do it.
Okay, that's some ideas on how to proceed.
What I'm going to do is I'm going to stop the recording now, but we'll continue. We still got some more questions.